Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
About a week and a half ago, I went to my my sister's graduation party. A grammar school graduation, and had a very interesting turn of events as we're sitting in a church for this grammar school graduation. Things are going on. There's, you know, the all the whatever, the awards. She just graduated the 8th grade, so
25. Just stand up
tall, up tall. To allow them to have songs that they, I guess, that they chose, that they had out at this event. And the thing that was shocking to me was the song that these kids chose to sing, these 8th grade kids, which, by the way, if you ever want to hear fantastic singing, get a 12-year-old, a group of 12-year-old boys to be involved in it, it's really amazing. I'm the world's greatest. The entire class was singing. This was at the graduation. Every kid singing. I thought that every kid and every girl always had a great voice. Those were the two things that I always thought were the case. I am an eagle, boy. I am a lion. Apparently, I found out that wasn't the case. As these kids, in honor of our friends the Toilet Buddies, as these kids decided to sing,
We will rock you,
an R. Kelly song, the world's greatest. How these 8th graders use their Jedi mind trick and convince the faculty at a Catholic grammar school to let them sing R. Kelly songs in a church. Because to me, I thought that R. Kelly kind of, there was sort of a stigma to, I don't know, a pedophile that pissed on children.
Talk about Michael Jackson again.
Obviously.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in Show.
Welcome!
Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The remix!
Holla! We like to chill out, max, relax, all that stuff. You want to do it with us? You can, 877-744-6405. We're Pal Talk, the Heroes Talk radio room, heroestalk.com, all that, you know. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. My name's Chris. I'm going to be here hanging out with you for, I would say, approximately 14 and a half hours, but I'm going to be quiet for the last 11 of it. As I look across the table, I see my dear, dear friend. It looks like he's lost quite a bit of weight. He looks a little bit skinnier than usual. That's my buddy Keith.
Thank you very much.
You look great, buddy. You look terrific.
Should I say?
Yes.
I think you were doing that too, but I couldn't really hear over the music.
Well, that's because I'm very, you know, I love rock. I love rock so much, sometimes I have to pump it up and I have to do it. And right next to Keith, I look over there and I see a specialty speckled fella.
His name is Fred.
It does smell much better in here for some reason. That, you know, Keith looks like he lost a lot of weight. Much better.
Exactly. It's not as he's not as offensive as usual. He looks he looks a little bit more attractive and smells a lot more pleasant.
Well, what's up, Keith? What's up, Chris?
The smell of illegal drugs now spreads a lot more with me not there.
I guess. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is. It's like the incense, the ode to Fred, is a little bit stronger in the room now. You know what is the strongest thing I've ever seen in my life? It's brown.
Well, I've been working out.
Is that what it is?
Watching my weight, watching it get bigger.
Watching it inflate. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He does look bigger.
Do you think we had it was really emotional. We had on our drive here, Brian started really pouring his heart out to me about how he hates that if people that he knew when he was younger would see him now, that they would look at him and think he was a fat guy. It started breaking down a little bit.
Really?
I might be embellishing slightly as to what it really was, but it started going in that direction. It was
all right,
pretty emotional.
Here it is. I'm not sure how deep we want to go into this, but Chris saw someone in my neighborhood that he thinks he recalls. It's probably someone that you know, being a Staten Island folk. And he only barely recognized him because he used to be like a tiny little runt, and now he's a big fat guy. And he started rambling over like what weight he guessed he was, and he was easily like going on the weight that I am. I was like, well, I'm suddenly a big fat guy? When did this happen? But he's right. If someone from high school or like college that I knew saw me, they'd probably think the same thing. They'd be like, you blew up like a freaking Lindenberg.
Well, here's a good tip. Stop wearing medium-sized T-shirts and go like to the large T-shirt now. I think you need to upgrade. No, Chris?
It's a fine-looking shirt. It's an attractive, very, very attractive shirt that you're wearing. I like the Best in Show gear, but yeah, it would be wouldn't be a bad idea to actually get it in the proper size.
I've always worn large, and it's just that large is fitting me now. The large that I always wore was loose. And
I got to be honest with you.
This large kind of...
I wouldn't describe that as fitting. I would describe that as barely covering.
Brian Vane, who would have thunk?
Yeah, you know, you never know. He's concerned about these things.
Put it
you
in
know,
my Brian
you know,
Vane.
I see Brian on the camera, and he looks pretty thin in that nice new brown shirt of his, so I don't know what you guys are really talking about.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. That's probably, yeah, he does look
that's
a lot
me,
better.
Keith. That's me. Hello, Keith. That's me.
Oh.
We all look the same to him.
Yikes. Can't tell the difference. Can't tell the difference at all. Speaking of nice, attractive, attractive shirts, I see our buddy's wearing a DJ New Style shirt. He's our producer. It's Robert. Hi, buddy.
Welcome to my humble abode.
Thanks. We've been here for like 2 hours, though.
I know.
Say welcome before.
I'm not even home, and I get a call from Chris saying, "Hey, where are you?" I'm at the pizza store. I'm in front of your house, and it's like 6 o'clock.
Yeah, there was a lot of franticness before this week's show that I had to run to a friendly neighborhood jewelry store before getting here, so I can get to get my new watch. My watch sized and have the band adjusted.
You get it sized like a ring, the watch? I just thought it had a band that would clip onto any specific size,
yeah,
like an elastic band.
No, it's not elastic. It's a metal. It's metal. It's a steel. I don't have an elastic
watch.
So
it's a real watch.
Well, maybe not.
Girls want it to, like, you know, fit the actual thing that you're trying to. You want it to make sure that it like, makes your eyes pop.
Okay.
You know, you want to bring out your better features, and to do that, it's got to fit.
All right, that's what all the girls like me do.
It is nice and shiny. I'm looking at it from across the table here. It is nice.
It's lovely. It's lovely.
Blingy.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'm all blinged out. So I got this. I got this fine watch, and we had to stop. And I stopped at the jewelry store to get it sized because it arrived today, and I had to get it sized. And the sizing process took all of 7 minutes, whereas I thought it was going to take like a half hour or so.
Some guy just put his hand around your wrist and said, "I got it."
Yeah. He basically took some masking tape and just taped the watch around my wrist. So after this happened, and it happened a lot quicker than we expected it to, we came to Rob's house early. And so we were sitting in front of Rob's house while he was around the corner getting pizza. So.
And how long were you stuck out there with Brian? Because he was sobbing to you?
No, it was the sobbing fat story was on the – that's why we were on the Verrazano Bridge, which was at one point the longest suspension bridge in the United States. So
felt like the longest bridge for that ride, I'll tell you that much.
So for the duration of that longest suspension bridge, I was hearing about his tale of woe.
I'm bloated.
His tale of woe. Fat. I've gained weight. Whoa. Look at me now.
I can't stop eating.
Well, it's funny, like, when we were in the car the whole way here, I guess it's just my nature to be away from people as much as I can. The minute we got out, I was all gung-ho and ready to go. I wanted to get in here and sit down at a proper table. And we couldn't because Rob wasn't here yet. He was at the pizza place. So instead of me just being a human being and sitting down and having a conversation with Chris, I had to jettison the car and run to his backyard and be alone and stare at a tree because that's what I like to
I
do.
I thought it was insane that he was getting out. He's like, all right, I'm going in. I'm like, yeah, but Geeks isn't here. His car's not here. He's definitely not here. And I was like, I'm getting in there. I was just like, all right, I'm going to be here in the car and wait for Rob to pull up before I get here. And he went, and I sat in front of Rob's house in the car for probably about 10 minutes, I'm going to say. And
Chris, you just answered a question of mine, because earlier when I talked to you, I was wondering, when you told me, well, I'm sitting in front of the house right now and Brian is in Rob's backyard, I was kind of wondering what was going on there, but I just...
It's like we'd just broken up. It was like we'd broken up. We had just had a fight, and he had to get out of the car, and he couldn't look me in the face anymore. Yeah, it was odd that he hung out in Rob's backyard while I hung out in the car in front of the house. Luckily, I had a new watch to distract me, and I stood staring at my watch, video games.
See, that's odd. That's odder than just sitting in the car and not saying a word to each other. You know, getting out of the car and just being left alone is odder than that.
And strangely, just before this, we were talking about the fact of how uncomfortable it is post-show every week when you and Brian get in the car together and you drive him to the bus stop and the two of you don't speak for the 10-minute ride
the
bus stop.
It really is jarring. Like, we've been sitting and tolerating each other's company for a good 3 to 4 hours straight, and we're all talked out at that point. We can barely muster up the pleasantries of talking about the weather, and it's kind of... I think we've gotten over that polite part of it, so it's okay for us to just basically sit in silence and every once in a while just mumble a grunt at each other to try. It's so uncomfortable being.
I think that's the ultimate sign of one's closeness with each other, when you could be silent and it still could be comfortable.
You know, I think that sentence was the perfect sign of a guy who's trying to keep his distance. And you know, let's try not to change this, Brian. I don't want to have to force any niceties. That's what that just was. You more or less.
No, it's not. It's really not. I mean. What else are we going to talk? We just spent three and a half hours on the radio. What do we get? What possibly else are we going to talk about on the 5 minute ride to the bus stop?
And you know, and I understand what you're saying. And Brian said something much to that effect when he was explaining the fact. Like I said, right before we got here, when we were having this conversation in the car, and then I responded with the fact that yeah, Keith and I actually drive in the car for about 10 minutes, and I don't think we shut up for the entire time.
Really?
We just don't stop talking. It gets to the point that we get to his front door and he can't even get out, and we'll sit there and talk for a couple more minutes because it's not enough that we just hung out and spoken for the last like 3.5 hours. We had to keep going.
On the other hand, I can't get out of Fred's car fast enough. Like, he barely stops. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to the bus stop and like he opens the door and I jump out and. Maybe if I've left something in the car, you know, so be it. We'll get it next week.
Oh, but Brian, I thought you appreciated my silence. If you really want me to talk, I'll talk your ear off.
I absolutely do appreciate the silence. I don't know if you figured this out, but I don't like to talk to people, quite honestly. And it's uncomfortable with my girlfriend. She is a talker. If I had a backyard to go to, I'd probably hang out there. But there's much of the time that I spend with my girlfriend is on the opposite side of the apartment, wherever it is. If she's on one side, I'm on the other, and she'll come into the other one, and I'm back at the other side.
I think that says a lot about you guys. I think it's great. I think it's terrific that you're so considerate of each other, so as to not speak to each other. And it says a lot of your relationship with your girlfriend that you guys love each other so much that you run screaming from each other.
It's also a very nice, kind way to put that. Yeah. No, I do appreciate the silent treatment. And in the beginning, when we didn't know each other, it was an awkward sort of like, okay, so the show just happened. How's the weather? Like, we had nothing to talk about with each other.
Hope the bus is on time today. Yeah, you know, buses, they sometimes run.
Yeah. It's not like we've become closer. It's not gotten any better. It's not like we've added other things to talk about. We're just okay with not talking about anything.
By the way, our buddy Keith Fu is mentioning in the Heroes Talk Room that it's not the fact that Brian doesn't like to talk, because he does enjoy talking at people. It's just not with them that he's not a big fan of.
That's drunky Brian. That's when Brian gets a couple of cocktails.
No, I think sober Brian talks at people too. Don't fool yourself.
Shut
up. It's okay. Wait, no, that's not...
My favorite part of this is tonight, the car ride home with Fred and Brian is going to be so uncomfortable, because now they're going to feel forced to have to say something.
Thanks Chris.
The exact reason why I brought it up.
I so want to record it.
Please do.
Oh, I don't have my recorder with me
today.
Here,
let me do it for you.
Oh, I'll get you a recorder. Hurricane? You guys going to be running for a hurricane?
Get out.
Awesome. I wish you guys luck. I hope everything is terrific on your car ride home tonight.
Suffer in silence, bro.
Well, is this Brian's attempt to like want me to be his friend or something that he brings us
no,
up?
No, no. I think he's saying that you are the best friend that he could have because Brian is not an especially personable person.
That's
he's
what
not
I get
an especially
from him.
He's not an especially social person. I think he enjoys it. I think he does enjoy it, and I think that I literally am bringing it up just because I think it'll be more uncomfortable for him if it is forced.
What do you think? I'm the overly social person that's gonna make up for that. The ride home, like if he's being quiet, I'm certainly not gonna take the reins and go with the conversation.
Yeah, I'm imagining that you probably are equally enjoying the silence because anything that's going to be said to you is going to be met with a what? What? Oh yeah. Oh man.
No, I
cottonmouth. That's what I think.
No, come on, I pay attention. I'm not that bad. But
he's a good listener.
But if Brian doesn't speak to you, don't you feel like he's just kind of using you for a ride? Then, like you know, like it's just like he's like he doesn't care. He doesn't like talking to people. He's just like, all right, take me. You know.
Well, I know he's using me for the ride anyway. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It. That's the relationship. But I would like to make it an enjoyable one for Brian. I don't want him to feel uncomfortable by me not talking. Now I'll just talk. I'll give him recipes, whatever he wants.
I'm not asking you to talk. I'm just saying, do you deny the fact that you get into the car and we're counting the seconds until I arrive at the bus stop 5 minutes later? And you're just waiting for it. Like if we happen to roll up on a red light where it's like, oh my God, I got to sit at a red light now. Just extend this non-conversation. If it's a little uncomfortable, no?
See, I'm not feeling you. I'm not feeling you. I'm not feeling the uncomfortableness. I don't know what it is with Brian. I think he thinks maybe we're closer friends and that I should be engaging him in conversation after the show, you know?
I'm telling you, I don't think that's the case. I think he really does enjoy – I think he enjoys the silence. I think it's fine for him.
Well, he's telling me he feels uncomfortable. He says he's counting the seconds before he gets out of the car.
I think he's hamming that up a little bit for the air. I think he really does like the idea of the quiet. I think what makes him uncomfortable is the fact that he thinks that you think he should be speaking. I don't think he wants to speak. I think he loves the idea of sitting in the car silently for 10 minutes, getting out and saying, thank you, Fred. See you next Thursday.
That's exactly what it is. What makes it uncomfortable is that I know that Fred's a human being, and human beings should talk to each other when they're in the same – they're sharing the same space together. And I just despise it. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at sitting in a place with a stranger or a person that I know and filling up the room with noise.
Oh, well, no.
I think it's unnecessary. I think it's uncomfortable. It's just not.
I got some terrifying things here that I'm reading in the Pal Talk room. My buddy Pristine Sneakers is saying that he feels bad. He's usually chatty around Brian. Now he feels as though he's imposing upon you.
Pristine is a social genius. He can sit. You can sit down in a car, and he can fill up the space, fill up those uncomfortable voids with conversation. But I mean, I'm sure he feels uncomfortable with me trying to respond to the topics that he's discussing as well. I'm just not a human. I'm bad at it.
So it's not that you mind that he is speaking. You have a problem with the fact that you think that you may need to respond at some point.
I'm not just a soundboard. He actually expects me to make noises at him afterwards.
So people can feel comfortable to let you, to work on their monologues around you. Just don't expect a dialogue.
Oh, God. That's what I need. I need someone around me who could just talk at me and allow me not to speak.
Tonight's car ride, I'm going to get into the car. Brian's going to shut the door. I'm going to go, wow me, Brian. Wow me.
So, give me your routine. Exactly. Let's see what you got. Wowing people week in and week out here on Best in Show. It's bestinshowradio.com. Here and here is something you do with your ears, place to be. If you want to be a part, you can. 877-744-6405. Pal Talk, HeroesTalk.com, Magic Wonderland, blah, blah, blah.
And if Brian doesn't like to be talked to, just hang out in movie theaters and libraries. All the time, you know? No one will talk to you.
Give me a ride to the bus stop in a movie theater.
Duh. You've just described my two favorite places of the world.
Yeah, because you don't have to engage anyone in conversation?
Yes. Yes, precisely.
Pristine did suggest that he would expect noises, otherwise he'll be let down. So I think if you just grunt every now and again, you should be fine.
See, I think, Chris, don't you think it's something within Brian that he feels the need that he should be talking? Like, you know,
do you not feel the need as if you're with a person you need to have a conversation? And if you're not, you're losing in some way?
No, if I'm with me and my wife live together, we're not engaged in conversation 24 hours of the day. There'll be, you know, hours that will go by where we don't say a single thing to each other.
Well, that's a little different. I mean, you should feel comfortable not to speak with your significant other, the person that you're sharing a living space with.
If you're watching a ball game one Sunday with a friend, you know, you're watching the ball game, you're not... you're not talking, you're not engaged in conversation. There are specific things that you that you could
watching
do.
Watching the ball game?
You know. I was thinking it the whole time. He's enjoying something in 1936. But watching the ball game today, fellas, it's me, Dan Sill.
You know, this.
Can we go to the speakeasy and watch the ball game?
Make sure you get home in time for the fireside chat, though.
You guys don't like to catch a ball game?
I mean, I guess.
You're watching the game on Sunday, a football game on Sunday
with a
friend.
Sports contest?
Yeah, a sports contest with a friend on Sunday. And you're talking to that friend when you're sitting on the couch? Or you are involved in the game?
Can I be unbelievably honest with you here? I don't remember the last time that I've enjoyed a ball game on a Sunday that I was not pissed drunk. So I have no idea what I enjoy, because that used to be after hour three of Best in Show for the ball game. So I don't even remember. Sure. I'm usually just a blithering drunken mess at that point. So I don't know exactly.
What
how
about
it works.
You, Keith?
About a ball game?
Yeah, I mean, when you're watching the ball game, are you talking?
Stop
or you?
It.
Are you?
I'm trying. It depends. Sometimes I am, but a lot of times I'm trying not. No, actually, during a game, it's fine. I could follow what's going on, unless the announcers are saying something I want to hear. But that doesn't usually happen. So. For the most part, I can talk during it.
I don't see where Brian feels the need to talk all the time and why he's guilted out about it. I don't know why.
How many games does Brian watch?
None.
Fred, are you honestly saying that it's never struck you as unusual, the lack of conversations in our car ride to the bus stop?
Never.
Really?
Promise
so
you.
This is a normal method? Me getting into the car is a normal sort of way that you deal with people? That's how you usually converse or don't converse with people.
Can I just say, I mean, on the same note of what I was saying about football games and being drunk for it, I'm going to be, I don't want to be disrespectful here, but we're going to say that Fred is fairly baked when he's getting in the car after the show and driving home. And I know, speaking personally, when I'm really, really high, I just love sitting and being dead silent.
Yeah.
Yeah, just really enjoy being quiet and just doing nothing.
You know how you have that friend of yours or that guy who is sort of an acquaintance that when you're forced into a situation, it's a little awkward kind of sitting there and trying to come up with something that you share interests with, and for that reason you don't really want to spend time with that? I know that I'm that guy for pretty much everybody. And I know that, like, getting into that situation makes
before,
it awkward. For
before
both.
You said it, I was going to say, yeah, you mean the Brian. The Brian
exactly.
That you know.
So you think you make your girlfriend feel awkward?
Somehow there's a couple of people out there who either I'm not awkward around or I don't make entirely awkward. I don't know what it is. I don't know what – I haven't figured out what that is about them that makes them different from other people. But no, she doesn't – I don't think I make her awkward. No, thankfully. Unless we're in bed. That is really awkward.
No, that honestly, I can't think of any vision that is a little bit more disturbing to me than the idea of Brian in bed. Hey, baby.
Well, I'm glad to see that I'm not...
Hey, baby, cut a hole in the sheet and let's do it.
I'm glad to see that that it's not that strange. I guess it's always an issue with me that I've dealt with, being around. Everyone to me is sort of a stranger. Like, there's very few people in my life who I kind of consider even, you know... Even good friends and acquaintances that I hang out with regularly are still – I feel awkward around regularly. I just feel awkward around people in general.
But what about you hanging out with them makes you feel awkward? Is there a point in your hanging out?
I guess it's the concept that you need to fill up space with someone who's supposed to be a friend or an acquaintance with noise. Like you actually have to have a conversation and it's not acceptable to sit silently in a place. And
well, you know, it depends.
It's pressure.
Invite them over to play video games. You don't have to talk.
Yep. Yeah, so, jeez. You know, gosh darn it.
That Obama.
It's like, exactly. I'm not.
That Obama. Like, that is to be, that's a topic starter. That Obama.
That sparks up the conversation.
Worst case scenario, it's going to be that uncomfortable and you're not going to want to hang out with me later, which is fine. That's exactly what I want. I don't want to hang out with you later. I don't want to spend time with you. And maybe to that end, it's good that I'm a piss poor conversationalist.
So you're not a good small talker. You don't like the small talk, the chatty, the chat.
It's not even that I don't like it.
He has all the free time in the world, and he chooses to sit in his house unbathed in sweatpants or underwear playing video games. So, I mean, of course, he's choosing a life of seclusion. Mm-hmm. So why would he need to interact with others?
And he's digressing. Go on.
And I thought of something, too. A lot of times I notice, like, if Brian's outside smoking a cigarette, and I'll walk out. He'll always, like, and we've known each other for years, but he'll always give me this awkward sort of, like, how you doing?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, like, we just met for the first time or something.
It really is. I know exactly what you're talking about. You've hit the nail on the head. When I sit out there, you come through that sliding glass door, you're approaching me. I see you from 10 feet away, wondering,
what
oh, God.
Say? What am I going to say?
Exactly.
What am I going to say? Oh, God. The pressure.
Exactly what I'm doing. Just leave me out there alone.
Really?
I'm a horrible person.
By the way, our buddy DJ Newstyle points out the most ridiculous thing about this. Brian is so antisocial that even video games can't get him to socialize because he despises multiplayer gaming.
Yeah.
When you know, the online experience where you can play with other people, he doesn't even do that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really bad at that too.
You really feel uncomfortable around us to this. You've been on the show, what, two and a half years, 3 years, and you still feel uncomfortable when Keith comes out in between a commercial break?
Yeah, oh, Jesus, really, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to impress him? Oh.
Do you not think anyone likes you on the show, Brian? Do you struggle with that?
No, I think most people here like me.
Most?
Yeah.
Who do you think likes you the most?
Who I think likes
you
the most?
Who do you think puts up with you the most?
I think Chris puts up with me the most, definitely.
Puts up with you, okay. But
what do you mean puts up?
Like, spends the most time verbally and physically with me out of all the four people.
He's like a pet.
The three and a half people.
He's like a little pet, like a little dog.
Okay, I mean, I don't know if it's putting up. Believe it or not, contrary to the on-air interaction between Brian and I actually enjoy Brian's company, or lack thereof, because he doesn't like to talk and I love to do those monologues. So maybe that's it.
It does fit sometimes. Like when we're driving from my house in Brooklyn to somewhere here in Staten Island and fulfilling all five chores that Chris wants to do that day, it's never really that much of a pain in the butt for me.
Wow, that was like a little dig in there.
It's never really that much of a pain because he does really just fill up that space with words, and I don't have to. I could actually shut my trap up and let him go on for all three of those hours, and it wouldn't be painful. But every once in a while, he says stuff that demands my response. So it actually...
Brian, are you breathing? Are you breathing, bro?
It turns into a real conversation. Like,
get the mirror away from my mouth.
I feel like a real human sometimes when I'm around him.
Well, it's amazing, though, because if you listen back to our radio show, I would say second to me, and maybe sometimes even ahead of me, I think Brian talks the most on the air.
Oh, most verbose, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I don't shut up a lot, but I mean, besides that, I think Brian's a...
This is not a natural occurrence for me. It's definitely, I'm struggling to try to not shut up here.
But I think that comes with nervousness.
Wait, you're struggling to try to not shut up?
Yeah, I'm going out of my way to not just sit back and watch, I guess.
Because you put out of your comfort zone.
I'm definitely. It's stressful. It's a.
But why do you feel the need to be interviewed? Like you feel the need to. You don't have a dialogue. You feel the need to be.
It almost feels like I don't feel the need to be interviewed. I need to be the interviewee. Like I have to. At the end of that conversation, for some reason, it hasn't gone well unless I've made you feel comfortable at my show or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the Brian show, and you're performing. And if you do bad, it's my fault.
So on your show, you're kind of like the host. You're like an Ed Sullivan type of guy. Like it is your show, but you are not really taking center stage.
I see myself more as a Letterman, but yeah.
Okay. But the same, the type of thing. See, but Letterman.
Or Monty. I see Monty.
But the thing is, with a Monty.
Not Monty Hall.
Okay.
Hall?
With a Monty or with a Letterman, they take a lot of the spotlight, whereas Ed Sullivan, I think, was more of like a sit back type of guy. That's why I said Sullivan.
Right. Fatty Carson.
Right. I guess I should be going more for that Dick Cavett thing, but he was always kind of a boring. Like, you want to be a Letterman. You want to be the guy who comes in. That's why I'm always saying corny crap constantly, because I want the laughs.
Well, do you not want to talk because you feel like you're being judged when you're having the conversations, the one-on-ones, not on the air?
I feel like every conversation is a performance. I feel like putting me in front of a person is I'm now tasked with entertaining you or making this conversation entertaining enough
that
for you to want to come back
that
or something.
Why do you feel the need that you have to entertain?
This is the root of why I don't like talking to people, because I feel like it's a chore. It's a task for me to have to, like,
I'll tell you right now, you're not entertaining, so stop trying. And you might
that helps.
You might be a little bit more comfortable.
I'll be honest with you. I disagree. I am very, very entertained by the madness.
He doesn't talk when he's in the car with me. With you, he's a chatty Cathy.
I got news for you. You know, we're saying it that maybe it has a lot to do with the fact that I like to talk a lot and he likes to sit back and be quiet a lot. Brian gets in the car today. Within 3 seconds, he had his routine planned out. He got in the car, and we had a conversation.
I do have routines, actually.
We had a conversation last week. I don't remember if it was on air or before the show that we talked about the sandwiches at the pork store in his neighborhood. And he came into the car, and within seconds of being in the car, he busts out the menu of the pork store in his neighborhood, a place that, let's be honest, I'm never going to go to in my entire life. But he felt the need to bring this to me. He had his little prop, and he was showing to me the names of the sandwiches at the shop in his town and the selections on their cold cut menu.
And this pork store, you have to back it up a little. Brian called a turkey store.
Poultry store.
He called it a poultry store.
Poultry store.
That wasn't on air. That was off air.
Yeah, okay. That was on air, actually, when I talked to it, when I called it a poultry store.
Oh, did you really?
I transpose words all the time. Pork and poultry, I guess, is a common thing.
Common. Everyone's
for me, common. I do it all the time, is what I'm saying. There's a bunch of other ones. There's like toiletries and condiments for some reason. I'm always transposing those.
I can understand that. That makes total sense to me. Toilet and delicious are the same thing to me.
I don't know if it's just the number of syllables and they're like slightly French in nature, but there's something about those two words that I'm always transposing.
Well, I see Chris being the same way as you, Brian. Chris, do you feel that need to be entertaining when you are engaged in conversation, say, with a work friend?
I think he's just a natural. I don't think he's trying
at all. I like to talk.
You like to play.
I like to talk. I like interacting with people. Brian has said it on the air. I like when we pull up to a toll booth when I'm trying to be over the top. I enjoy that.
Well, that's the thing. You like to talk. Brian doesn't like to talk, yet he still feels the need to bring out his A game.
It's a
like
curse for him and a blessing for me.
Yeah,
the desire to do it.
Why don't you just bomb all the time? Why don't you just say the most unfunniest, horrible things, and no one will talk to you? You can't bring your A game if you don't want.
I wait for that until you're a close friend. I'm constantly bombing. when I brought you into the inner circle, I'm bombing constantly. All the really uncomfortable off color crap that people shouldn't be saying. That's when you're in the inner circle if you reached that level of my conversation.
I had no idea we were that close.
So you really care what people think about you. That's what you're saying in this whole conversation.
Yeah.
You really
do
care. You really do care.
I didn't even think of it that way. He really does. Mr. Anti-establishment, mm-hmm. Mr. Anti-scene,
Rage
Mr. Anti-everything. Exactly. Rage Against the Machine Brian, or as I like to call him, Zach. He really cares a lot about what everyone thinks. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, that's really what it comes down to, and I guess that's what makes me uncomfortable about the proposition of having to do it, because I don't like it. I don't like to have to care what you think, and I feel like in conversation I'm forced to.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the result is we never have a conversation. If I do bad, we don't talk anymore, which is exactly what I'm looking for. You're right. I should just bomb constantly.
That's what you should do. Just to...
In my head, when I try, I'm bombing. Anyway, like every conversation I have with you is a failure in my head. My life is a failure all the time.
God. That's honestly was the saddest yet funniest thing I've ever heard on the show ever. That totally broke me. That made me feel so bad.
You don't
repeat
feel,
it. What was it? What did he say?
Even when, like, even if I'm being successful and you're having a great time, I still feel like I'm failing.
Oof.
I'm bombing constantly inside my stupid little head. I'm failing at life.
Well, let's see what Brian has going on for him. He looks. Oh boy. He worked. He's happy.
Yeah, it doesn't
his family.
It doesn't bode well. It doesn't bode well. But I mean, hey.
Wait, his vacation.
He had a large cup of coffee today. It was a large cup of coffee.
Good for you, bro.
You know what I always can put in the win column? I'm part of one of the best radio shows in the world.
Yeah, see.
Wait a second.
There's
that.
You left the show for a different one.
Well, I was just going to say, you're part of a radio show that has the word best in the title. So it's kind of almost the same thing. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, the place to be. If you want to be a part of the magic, the joy that is Brian's life, you can. 877-744-6405. You can get him on Instant Messenger. Maybe, maybe not, at Best in Show Brian. Me, Best in Show Chris. Him at Best in Show Keith. And that other fella at Best in Show Rob. It's exciting. It's exciting stuff.
You know, it leads into something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it comes right down to me being stressed out about this show. And I think the root of it is the fact that I'm having a 3-hour conversation, attempting to like entertain not only the 4 people here, but people who are actually listening to it, and it tweaks me out. I'm still to this day stressed out about the show. Badly.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's our car ride home is really the only kind of pleasant moment where, like, and it's as pleasant as it gets.
The pleasant moment of, oh, God, I hope I don't have to talk.
Yeah. That's the only time when there's a point when I'm coming down. We just finished the show, and I'm not yet stressing about the next show, and it lasts for about 10 minutes until I get on the bus. And then I start freaking out about how badly the last show went and what topics I'm going to talk about the next show. And that's like, you know, Thursday night, early Friday morning, and it just starts ramping up and ramping up. And it kicks in pretty hard around Sunday. Sunday rolls around, and I know we're rolling into the week, and I've got a couple of days to, like, come up with topics, and everything I'm thinking of is stupid, and nothing's happening to me, and it's like, what am I going to do, and our show sucks, and then it starts getting a fever pitch sometime around Wednesday night, when I've sat at the computer and typed nothing out on an empty screen trying to figure out what's going to happen, and I'm panicking that I'm late and all of this stuff is going on. By the time Thursday happens, I'm just a mess. And it's every week. This is a major source of my stress now, literally.
Brian, let me ask you something, because we sort of discussed this when we were talking about writer's block a few weeks ago, and I think I just kind of glossed over it by saying I feel that same pressure planning topics for this show. So it's that same kind of thing that you described with writer's block. Is it that same type of stress? And since you like being interviewed, the other question is it more of a fear of putting forth a bad product, or is it more of a fear of letting down the rest of us?
I mean, all of that leads into it.
Or is it a fear embarrassing just yourself? Is it more about you?
Everything that Keith mentioned is definitely plays a role in it, but in the end, it's about me failing. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, I've got performance issues, and it's not just with this show. I've had it, when I started thinking about this, I've had it my entire life. Stupid little, I used to play piano alone up on a stage in a recital format, and I'd be forced to sit down and actually perform. And whether I was good or not, it was never good enough. And I would freak. I'm the guy in the back of the stage vomiting, you know, 5 minutes before they're letting me up, because I want it the day before. I want to quit. Even stupid stuff like running. I'm like running a cross country or doing like long distance track or soccer or like a group sporting event. Baseball, when I was a little kid. I'm a little kid, 9 years old, and I'm freaking out that I'm not going to play baseball correctly in Little League.
But you would figure after 100, you know, times doing it that it would dissipate a little. That feeling would get less and less.
Right. As far as a kid is concerned, I can understand, because the anxiety of a little kid and feeling like you have to perform, because a lot of kids do things like that for their parents, you know, or even whether their parents want them to or not, they do things like that. So I understand that. Something like this, something like doing the show, who are you doing it for?
For me, it's about when you do it. I mean, that's really what the answer is. The real question is, if it hurts this much, why the hell do I keep freaking doing it? And it's, you know, at this point, it's just, I mean, I'm Irish. I just do things that you can't make me stop doing them. Like, you're going to have to fire me. I won't quit, regardless of how bad this gets. And, like, I'm going to fall all the way down that downward spiral until, I don't know, you light me on fire and I'm gone.
Oh, my God, that'll be the great show. Episode 200, by the way, coming soon. Well, we light Brian on fire.
I would love to see Brian's rejected topics, what he thinks is too stupid or silly.
Do you actually, when you do your topic preparation for this awful thing that you're getting ready for, do you actually like write things and actually crumple up papers and throw them on the floor? Like, no, I can't do that.
I do that virtually. I type it out on a piece of paper and I reorder things by numerical order about what should be talked about.
And then
this
you
way.
Proofread it?
As I think about stuff, I remove them, and they're gone forever. Like, I'm deleting them or moving to. There's no like trace of it, because I don't have the crumpled up pieces of paper. But along the question that you were asking me previously, Chris, or maybe it was you, Fred. I'm sorry. I think it's like there's something about when you do things more, you're supposed to get better at it. And if you're not getting better, then why are you still doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never think that I'm doing good. And I never think this show will be good. So that begs the question, why do we keep doing it? We're putting ourselves in a situation to be even suckier than we were the week before. But it's getting worse.
With your
and worse.
Attitude, you could take anything. You could take any sports or video games the same way, right?
Multiplayer is. I'm sure this is at the root of why I'm not a big multiplayer video game fan, because I have performance anxiety. I don't want to go up there and not be like the best guy out there killing everyone, because I'll feel like a failure.
Do you like to self-destruct? Like, do you like to get to things and just try to like ruin it and make it self-destruct? Like, where is your ending? Is your ending just, okay, I'm going to walk away, or you know what? I'm going to go out with a blaze no matter what the topic is, because I can't see anything getting better.
I don't think I like to self-destruct, but I have put myself into a situation where I've
no enjoyment in the exercise.
No, I know that it's going badly, and I mean, I've stayed in relationships way longer than I should have as a result of just I'm in it, and you're gonna have to break up with me.
I think that's a matter of a little bit more of just like laziness, not wanting to get off the pot type thing.
There's kind of a lot. You get me started in something, and I mean, no amount of logic or failure is going to stop me. Like you're going to have to stop me physically. Or make it stop.
Like
the
show. Like you wouldn't stop doing the show. We would have to. You'd have to get booted, kicked out. There's an inner drive.
Well, Chris might have a little insight into that.
What do you mean?
In earlier shows, we would constantly have these like post-show meetings where we're trying to figure out like what's going wrong and how things are changing. And I mean, I always think that it's me. I'm the one.
I will say, if there was a post-show meeting, it would be you vomiting on mic while in the middle of trying to talk. That would be topic number one tonight.
By the way, speaking of the ride home with Fred, after all of those post-show meetings every Sunday, Fred's reaction would always be, that's it, I'm quitting.
That's how I felt as well. It's like, I want to quit, but I've made the commitment, so you guys are just going to have to get rid of me. I'm not going to leave. And even if it means...
Dr. X points it out in the Heroes Talk chat room, that thing that Brian is describing, it's something called stubbornness. It's stubbornness.
Really?
That's exactly what that is.
That's part of my nature, too. I am kind of like a single-minded, stubborn jerk.
Great. But just a moment before that, by the way, Dr. X was mentioning that he thinks that what I should do is ask everybody to give me their rejected topics and bring them in a bag and actually make us go through them each week. This is actually an idea that we talked about doing a couple years back, and I can't remember what the name of it was. Worst in Show. That's what it was. Yeah, we just couldn't. We already subject you to some pretty bad crap here. You guys really don't want to hear what we think isn't good enough to be this crap.
That was a bit that we rejected.
Yeah.
That's how
rejected
bad it was.
Topics?
Yeah.
You guys actually hold stuff back?
Well, yeah, I guess.
As soon as my pen hits the paper, it's a topic.
I think this comes...
Look at this ink. Look at this ink coming out of this pen right now. That's my topic.
I think this comes down to Brian just can't enjoy anything. Brian can't put down the guard. He can't put down this facade.
It all ties in.
You can't enjoy anything.
I can enjoy many things. There are just some things.
No, you enjoy many things on your own.
Yes, definitely.
Terms,
exactly.
On my own is definitely a big part of enjoying anything. I like things on my own. I like watching movies on my own. I like reading books on my own. I like playing video games. Anything that I really like, it's most of the time it's alone.
Self-important?
Maybe. I think I'm pretty important.
You also can't let people down that way. Do you care at all about that?
Sure.
What is chocolate pepper cookies going to do?
What?
What is she going to do? You like being alone. What is Chocolate Pepper Cookies going to do?
I
can't believe that's her name now. She's like Peppermint Patty. She's Chocolate Pepper Cookies.
Chocolate Pepper Cookies. What is she going to do?
You like
being alone. I feel for her, too.
I feel for her. I realize that the words that are coming out of my mouth are not like some sort of bit. This actually happens. It's a major part of my life. And anyone who has to deal with that, that's got to be a challenge.
Do you and CPC talk about it? Don't laugh. Don't laugh. This is not funny.
I'm laughing at her name being
Don't
CPC.
Laugh. Don't laugh. It. This is fun. This is not funny. What does CPC say?
I mean, she, like every other girl, wants me to talk more and to open up and be more emotional. And, you know, I can't do that. I'm a man.
But do you tell her, honestly, you like doing stuff alone?
Yeah.
You'd rather be alone?
I've said that. And she knows it. And she... To her credit, gives me, you know, as much alone Brian space and time as she can do and not feel just ultimately rejected.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was a better person. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sweetie.
Do you know what, though? Thank God for CPC, because if without chocolate pepper cookies, he would be a mess. He would be a mess. Imagine him without a relationship, Chris, a little bit of an anchor. He would go off into, obscurity. So I don't know what would happen with Brian.
I don't. He would, without the anchor of CPC, he would be off in the abyss at this point, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. Off the deep end.
He's kind of there, but he does have that thing that drags him back. Maybe you're right. The thing is, I've known single Brian for years, but I also knew single Brian before he was too immersed in video games and when he was still working. So it's a little bit different. It was a little bit there was a different anchor that was keeping him from the great void, the great beyond.
A lot of go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry,
Brian. I've been thinking about this lately, and I've been thinking that what I see in the future, in the near future, probably for Brian, is I see a lot of fist fights with strangers on the horizon.
Whoa! Why?
For just that is interaction. There is socializing in that. You know,
I see you going out, being drunk, and then finally, just like all this stress that's building up in you is just going to end up like in a literature fight, for example.
It's possible. Our buddy Pristine is saying in the Apalto Chroma, he might go the other way. He might just go nuts and go headfirst right into the online multiplayer games. Maybe that's what you need when you're alone. I think no matter what, you're going to gravitate to some sort of something that gives you some sort of social interaction. I don't see you becoming
anybody. I think there actually is
he has to, in some respect, like somebody.
I think there's a diagnosis here for him for something. There's definitely this must be, you know, we're not reinventing a wheel of how he is. If he doesn't like people, he doesn't like socializing with people. He thinks he's self-important. He thinks that his words are very important, that people have to agree with him or get his point out, that they would have to go on those points.
It's not a glowing endorsement coming from Rob.
No, what I'm just saying is, when you do speak, you want to be you want to be acknowledged, but yet you don't like people.
I don't want to be acknowledged. I just need to be right. Yes. I need to be correct.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to say things that are wrong.
And are you afraid of going back to work because you don't know what type of job and you're going to have to socialize with people? Is this a fear of why you're
worried? Dude, not for nothing. You being a guy who just started a new job, I will say that there is definitely something about breaking into the new social circle, being the new kid at school at a new job.
Yeah.
There's definitely I don't want to say anxiety causing, but there's an uncomfortableness to that.
Without a doubt.
Well, for the most part, I've tried to keep my work life and my home life completely separate from each other, and there's a handful of exceptions, Chris being one of them.
Tifu in the chat room being another.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, he was a friend first, and then I came into his fold afterwards. I go out of my way to not be social. But I do not want to be part of that dynamic at work.
Regardless, there is a sense of socialization that has to take place at work, even if it's just. Yes, I could help you with this project that we're working on. Goodbye.
Right, but I'm not going to be any more comfortable with the work acquaintance that I've known for 2 years than I am with the work acquaintance that I've known for 2 days.
That's what I don't
get. They're equally as frustrating to me.
By the way, before it goes past, our buddy Entropy saying in the Heroes Talk Room, Brian, as far as starting fights with people all the time now, if he did this, as Keith is suggesting, it's a non-consensual fight club that he's doing. Sorry, I thought that was great.
I don't even tell him the rules first. He goes out there.
Just come over, you just start punching.
It's for their own good.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
It's to break them of the...
If it's not for their own good, it's for your own good. So at least somebody's benefiting out of it.
I guess is what it comes down to is I see a lot of this stemming from my performance anxiety. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the fact that I'm treating way too many things as performance or competition. Like a conversation in a car with another person is not really supposed to be competitive, but I have to win at it or something. And for that reason, I don't like to do it because I'm on the before I step into that car, I'm vomiting out in the alleyway because I don't want to perform.
Who would have thought Brian cares about the show the most out of the five of us?
Is it caring about it, or is it just stressing out about it?
I don't know that he cares the most. I don't know. That's the case because I mean, I don't see anyone else being as forthcoming about it
or puts the most. I don't know how to say it. You stress out about it certainly the most out of any one of us. Oh. Rob, do you feel stressed out when you do the show?
In general, as far as do the show,
yes.
I mean, there's moving components with the show that I stress out about, but not the actual show.
Chris,
when that music comes up, my head's going to explode. It's like, oh,
there are some days you might feel less comfortable to start up a show, but in general, you don't feel that stressed out.
The only stress I feel about the show is if my preparation is not done and submitted to the appropriate parties in advance the way that they're supposed to.
Wait, that's when I do that?
We're supposed to. We decide to give up on that with you. You don't have to worry about that. Put that on your list that doesn't get written, that you have to work on that next week. But that's the only thing that I worry about. That's the only thing that I worry about is when I think, oh, crap, man, I still haven't gotten Keith my topics. Crap.
I will never be prepared enough. I will never, even if I've submitted the topics on time, it's not enough topics. They're not the right topics. I'm never going to sit in the chair and feel comfortable about what I'm about to do because I'm not ready yet.
What about you, Keith? Are you there?
Oh, I certainly am, sir.
Do you still get butterflies when you start the show every now and then?
Occasionally, not normally, but for some reason today I did. But I think that was more worrying about, you know, the
losing so much weight, looking so skinny in the room.
Exactly. I didn't want to get, you know, like I didn't want to get hit on in the chat room. But yeah, no, I guess tonight it was more worrying about what it was going to sound like. And
I got to be honest here. I don't think Keith is being 100% forthcoming here because I think he's actually said recently. I mean, I don't remember the exact day, but I even think he said recently. He's like, you would think at this point that I wouldn't get nervous at all anymore, but I still get nervous sometimes. I think.
Well, that's what I just said. I said sometimes I do, not usually. You know when I would get nervous for a while there when I was doing the intro and I wasn't used to doing the intro?
Yeah, maybe that's...
The first time I did it, it was fine, and then I realized that, like, there's no one to... I'm used to getting introduced and then just letting you swing it over to someone else so I can, like, regroup for a second. Regroup from saying, hi, how are you? And then when I realized there's all the stuff that has to be said, it started being pressure on me. But, you know.
What? Stuff like people listening to Best in Show here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with Your Ears Place to Be, where they can call us 877-744-6405, things like that?
So, along that nature, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this leads me to.
Along that nature.
This leads me to the question for Brian. Is the excitement gone, or was the excitement ever there from doing the show?
I'm constantly excited, and it's not. It's sort of like a repulsion. It really is.
Repulsion.
It really is kind of a fear. I mean, it stems from the excitement, but I don't think you guys are understanding really the level of like stress that I'm dealing with. Let me paint a picture here. Remember that time
that
we had to go to the – had to go. You see? This is what I mean. We had to go to the Sirius Studios and do the
– XM at the time.
I'm sorry. The XM Studios and do the Night of 100 podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
When we met each other, I saw you guys like rolling down the street. You guys met somewhere else and came like walking down the street.
Fred drove your buddy, and we just didn't feel like stopping by your house all the way.
Well, I took the subway in, or I came from work. That's what it was. And I'm waiting on the street watching you guys approach. And as you approached, I saw like the fear and the panic in your eyes. You guys were excited. You were happy. You were a little scared and kind of like a little – like you needed a pop to take the edge off or something. Like there was something there that you guys were stressed out, not entirely comfortable about the situation, maybe even a little nauseous. That's what every – day, every show feels like to me. And the 4 days before, worrying about the show that's coming up.
Well, then, Brian, you hit it well that day because I didn't think he was stressed out at all that day. Brian came through like a pro, too, on the board and everything. I didn't think he was stressed out at all.
I guess
he hides it very well.
That's right. Brian was still our producer at that point. He was actually manning the board at XM. It was very exciting. By the way, if you guys haven't heard it, go over to our podcast page or go to the download page over at bestinshowradio.com and download this old relic from February of last year and enjoy the production stylings of Brian.
And the board was about the size of this table. I mean, it was like 6 foot by like 4 foot, and Brian just sat down behind it. Was like, all right, let's go.
Dude, the equipment was great. Like, and to be fair, I wasn't doing the actual like real engineering work. I was just, you know, kicking sounds and hearing it. There were people behind us actually doing the real work for us. But there's none of their stuff was broken. Like everything worked exactly how it should be. That we were using stuff that was made to do the actual job that it was doing.
Well,
it was
if you feel like that every time you before a show, if you feel that nervous, you hide it so well because I never see you stressed out. You don't seem stressed out.
I guess it's because I'm constantly stressed out. Like and to be quite honest, if I'm not stressed out, I'm probably not going to do it anyway. Like I only do things, especially anything that's productive, when I'm tweaked out about it. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not tweaked out about it, forget it. I'll blow it off. I'm going to stay home. Like I have to be kind of like stressed out and afraid of it in order to actually do it.
Our buddy Walter Sobchak saying in the Pal Talk room, "Don't worry, Brian. Every show sounds like a strained effort to everyone listening out there too." So you're not totally crazy.
I know, man. I know. It's the worst. the worst.
I can't believe Brian is stressing out about it. It blows my mind. It really does.
I think a lot about the show, but I definitely don't have I don't want to say anxiety, but like I don't have the negative connotation in there. I mean, like I said, the only thing that I worry about is when I feel like, oh crap, I let them down. I didn't get in my topics on time. That's about mm-hmm. the only thing that I worry about. And it's not even that I worry about it. It's when I realize, like, oh crap, I let them down. Oh well. Yeah, what are you going to do? Because you know what? If we come here on Thursday night at 8 o'clock and there are no topics on a sheet of paper, we turn the mic on, it'll go someplace.
Or it won't.
We'll end the show early. What are you going to do? And you know what happens then? Oh, well, that's what happens.
I think I'm a perfect candidate for, like, some sort of heart disease or stress-based issue.
Well, that's what Chris brings up. Oh, well, nothing happens. There's no punishment. Like, you're thinking, yeah. like, there's some big... Brian thinks it's some big punishment, like he's going to die or something if we do a show that's
My
below
My name is
a
associated
point.
With a product that sucks.
but you know what the... I was just going to say, do you know what the punishment is, though? You get to come back next week. You get to come
I
back
know,
next week and be associated again.
That's horrible. What a horrible...
So, Brian, can I ask you something now?
Yes.
While we were doing two shows a week because of scheduling problems,
you couldn't
do two. You were only doing one. In all honesty, was part of it the fact that you just couldn't bear having to do two shows a week?
Ooh, good question.
No, I mean, all of that came down to the fact that I just... The time and... the time involved in getting into and out of is just... It's a lot. If I owned a car, I'd probably be able to do it. I wouldn't stress any less. I'd probably stress twice as much having to do two shows a week.
That are crappy.
But no, sadly, I'd kind of stress out about the Monday show, the Brian Free Monday show. I'd be in the chat room performing as well, all tweaked out about not doing well. It's just,
You're juggling in the chat room? I'm not watching.
It's a nightmare.
It's the Brian show.
I never felt like I was, quote, off on Monday. I felt like I was still reporting for duty, and I was failing.
You were reporting, and it was duty. I will say that. So.
I'll tell you, the only time I really saw Brian stress out was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when we pulled the prank on Brian and just pointed to him to start the show, to make the announcements.
That was the worst.
And no one talked until Brian talked, and you saw the sweat on his forehead just start to glisten, and a little sweat bead roll down his cheek as he was doing the announcement. That was great.
Sheer fear. That was just fear. That was 90% fear and like 10% urine that drove me through that.
Yeah. I hate 10% urine.
I peed myself.
Well, maybe you need to be forced into that I guess you got to face your fears. You got to be forced into that type of thing.
Well,
maybe
thank you.
Some more often.
That's what this show's
you
about.
You do understand that all I want to do right now is shut my mic off. That's the way to force it. Oh, God. Fred just shut his mic off.
Guys, I'll be right back.
Yeah, great. I'm not going to do that to you. I won't do it to you. Here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Here is Talk, the thing you do with your ears, the place to be, the magical one of land, the fantasy cavalcade, all that stuff. The home of Brian. I'm just going to call Here is Talk now the home of Brian. And it's a great thing. I love it. I love the idea that that someplace in there that Brian has that Brian likes to poke fun at the idea that I feel like I need to see a therapist and stuff like that. And there's so much madness in there. There's so much madness. I mean, but the thing is, I don't know that you need to, because you know it might not work for him, it might not help him in any way. But I you're crazy, dude. you're a crazy effed up dude. It's great.
It won't help him anyway, because he can't be wrong. If he goes into that thing, he thinks that you're automatically wrong if you're going to see a therapist. There's something wrong about you, and he doesn't think there's anything wrong at all. He would never do it. He would never. That's his admitting that he's wrong, and Brian would never go to a therapist. Am I right, Brian?
I definitely do think that part of therapy is useless, because there's nothing that he can tell me about myself that I don't already know. I acknowledge that these are shortcomings and failures, and I know what the solutions are. It's not like he's going to give me any winning information.
So who are you going to impress in this world? I mean, I want to drag this out. It's already been dragged out a little bit, but... if you're not on this planet to impress anybody or to help anybody or to – what the hell is your purpose then? Like me, my family, and I have a family, and I'm sure Fred and his wife, and to build a relationship and do all this stuff and have a goal but if you
– I really want this answer
because that is where
– the answer is you're fooling yourself if you think you have a purpose in this life. There is no purpose. You're just living. There's no, you know, there's not a reason why you're here to do something. You're just
no.
Here.
I chose something to.
If in your
to
own mind,
forward to.
If in your own mind, that's what you feel your purpose is. It's the reason that you get up in the morning, as far as you're concerned, as opposed to putting a, you know, as opposed to putting a bullet in your own face. If that's what you need to do, if you need that opium to get you through, that you feel that you need that, I could see that.
But your friends and family, they might think they have a purpose, and. You know what I mean? What if
they're silly? No one has a purpose. There's no reason why a person is on this planet to do anything.
What if a month from now, Chocolate Pepper Cookies comes up to you and say, my purpose to be on this earth, I want to have a kid. I want to start a family. I want to do that. What if that's the purpose that interferes with your purpose?
If she started saying that was her purpose in life, to breed, I mean, you know, I guess the argument is that every being's purpose is to, like, propagate the species, but...
Make it so romantic.
I mean, that's just the nature of species. That's just the nature of life. I mean, that's not...
See, I think this is where it all stems from. Exactly what's happening now is the reasons why he doesn't want to speak to her, why he doesn't want to spend time with things, why he doesn't want to talk to people, the whole nine. Because everyone has their own agendas in life, and he disagrees with every single agenda that you do. And so you know, you are the guy that's going to go postal. You are the guy that's going to be alone one day, going just by yourself and saying, you know what? I need a purpose. And you're the guy. You're that guy.
I don't think if really I'm going to be the guy drinking the Kool-Aid saying that some wild thing in the sky came down and told me that I need to achieve this thing or my life is useless. I think every life is essentially pointless, where it's just the reason to live is the fact that you can live and there is no other option. You just that's your purpose.
I'm not going to disagree with Brian at all on that. I don't think that there's any reason for anything other than the reasons that you assign to whatever you want it to be.
To get to experience things, I guess, is the closest thing that I can come up with a reason
live. But those, again, wouldn't be, that's not a reason. That's what you've assigned. That's what you've designated as your own personal reason, which is the, you know, the same concept as that's your opium. That's what you need to get you through. That's your, if you need to tell yourself that there's a God that you're trying to please and that's what's going to make you get up every day, okay. Mm-hmm. If you feel like it's because you have to take care of your kid and that's what you want to do every day because you want to experience with your kid every day, that's fine, but it's not a reason to live. It's what you've deemed as important.
Yeah, I don't think people should stop taking care of their children. I don't think people should stop creating things. I don't think that people should
stop. That's Brian's official statement. He doesn't think people should stop taking care of their children.
I think people should stop creating children, but I don't think, like, necessarily just because it's not your purpose in life to achieve these things doesn't mean you shouldn't go out and achieve them. I just think it's kind of silly to think that I'm doing this because it's what I am supposed to do, what someone, something has elected or invented for me to achieve while I'm on this planet. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, the purpose is it's very abstract to try and say
Dude, I know exactly what you're talking about. My purpose is to roll the perfect fatty. Watch me go.
What?
Watch me go. One-handed, dude.
What?
It's Best in Show. Best in Show radio.
It's breaking up, guys.
No. Sorry, it should break up. You've got a guy like this trying to talk on it. Best in Show. You want to be a part, you can. 877-744-6405. Blah, blah. Pal talk, all that magical, wonderful stuff. I think it's great. I think it's great that Brian is nutty. I think it's great that he's got all these things in there, and I'm compelled by them. I think they're outrageous.
I'm not crazy.
You're not crazy.
You're the one that's crazy.
Oh, institutionalized. You're driving me crazy. Magic. I'll tell you what is driving me crazy as of late is I've been having. Anxiety is something that we've been talking about. I've been having anxiety since this show's began as I look over at my phone over and over again, and I'm waiting for it to ring because I have been on call for work now for 4 days straight, and this is the first day of the 4 days that I have not been called as of yet to actually go out to work. For the last 3 days up until today, I have had probably a grand total of about 6 hours of sleep over the past 3 days because every night I've been out till God knows what time trying to fix the internet for I don't know, whatever reason. And it's really, really awesome. And it's starting to wear thin on me.
You get paid good money though as you're doing it?
That's the thing. That's the thing about it. I feel like it's almost like I feel like a jerk complaining about like, oh, poor me. I get paid really well for my job that some people don't have, and I'm making good money. But it does. It sucks. It sucks to not be able to sleep. It sucks to not have any sort of pattern. But it's wah wah wah. Poor me. I make money. Wah.
I don't think I can ever do a job like that where I would have to work like in the late to late at night, early morning. I just couldn't do it. I don't have it in me.
Well, it's every day this week. On Monday night, I think I got home at about 2 o'clock in the morning. On Thursday night, on Tuesday night, I got home at about 7:30 and then called back out and went back out until like 3 o'clock in the morning. Last night for movie night. Here, 100K Presents, here on Heroes Talk. As soon as the movie ended, I had to run out and go out to work. I worked until 2 o'clock in the morning, got home at 2, got to my house, and the phone rang as I'm walking in the door, and they're saying, yeah, I think we need you in Jersey City. I'm like, you guys got to be kidding me. Is this a joke? Did you have a camera on my car telling you, hey, his head's about to hit his pillow. Send him back out. Send him back out. They didn't actually send me out. They told me, all right, we're going to be calling you in a couple of minutes to do it. So instead, I laid on my couch, instead of going towards my bedroom because I didn't want the phone to wake up my wife and kids. So I went and I laid on my couch, put my phone on my chest, and the phone never rang. And I slept on my couch, woke up this morning with my back killing me because I slept on a nice cushiony couch. It was awesome.
Are you ever afraid that you're going to fall asleep at the wheel coming back home from one of those jobs or something?
I don't worry about it, but I have
nodded off.
I'm
not the best driver in the world as it is anyway. I'll cop to that, the fact that I'm not the world's greatest driver. But I've definitely exercised even worse judgment than I regularly do sometimes when I've been exhausted and gone. Like, I'm telling you, 6 hours sleep in 3 days. You're not going to be driving the best.
Well, tell me how you keep yourself up, because I got a ride with Brian later on today that I normally fall asleep for. I need to keep myself up. You got any tips?
I have him try and talk, and the terror of hearing what goes on in his brain will keep you awake. Will keep you awake for the entire time.
Do you give yourself the slap? I sometimes when I get tired just slap myself as hard as I can in the face.
I used to keep cold water in the car and I'd splash water in my face on the way home. Especially because, that's what I do is I'm working really late. I always have water with me and coffee and stuff like that. Coffee doesn't necessarily keep me up, but drinking, doing something in there.
My answer, and it's only a temporary one, is stick your head out the window like a dog. Which is a little hard when you're driving, but it can be done and it totally works.
Really?
You got to be careful about losing glasses if you wear them, but make sure they're secure at least. I've lost a couple pair of glasses doing that. But yeah, driving at night is the worst, and you get a good little 5 minute slap in the face by sticking your head out the window. It's like a cold rush, and it wakes you right up, and it's totally natural.
I don't envy you, Chris. I don't envy those late hours doing a job like that, man.
Yeah, I haven't been enjoying it at all. And again, like I said, it's ridiculous for me to complain because the fact is I get paid overtime. So when this does happen, I wind up doing pretty well for myself financially, so I can't complain about that.
Absolutely.
But it does wear on you. It does. I feel like a battered child as I look at my phone all the time. Just like I'm waiting for daddy just to backhand me for no reason. As I look at my phone, no, don't call me, please. I don't want to know that something's broken.
See, that's the problem. It's not even the nature of having to work long or unusual hours. It's the on-call and never knowing what's going to happen next thing that drives you nuts. Yeah. Because even if you're working horrible hours, like if you're working night and having to sleep during the day, you can eventually, with some work, settle into a routine where you can. It's not a pleasant schedule. It's definitely, there's some bad things that go on with that. I've experienced it. But the moment you're constantly on call or have to be available, you'll never be able to adjust to anything. You're always going to be behind that gun. You're always going to be killing yourself. And even when you're relaxing, you're never really going to be relaxed because you're worried about your phone ringing.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. Chris, are you constantly worried about the phone ringing all the time? Can you ever get alone time?
I never worried. I never used to have issues with it before. I shouldn't say never, but I rarely had issues with it before. This week has been one of the hell weeks. It's been like, oh my God, every day it's been something. And one of the guys that we work with is on vacation too. So even during the day, my day is a little more frantic than usual too. So between the day being more frantic, I have a guy. There's actually a guy from my company that's on vacation in Philadelphia that I've been filling in on phone calls for him for things in Philadelphia. Things I have no idea about. That I'm just like, you know, I'm just like, yeah, flying by the seat of my pants. Yeah, sure, we'll take care of that, no problem. But so my regular 9-to-5 section of my job has been more stressful. And then coming home every day, I come home like, oh, I finally get to relax. Oh, you're going out to work. Oh, I'm coming home again. Oh no, you're going back out again. So it's been a bad week. It's been like hell week. I've been hazed. The hazing has happened this week of the job. And it's usually not like that. I mean, there was a time period that because of things that happened out of my control, that maybe I didn't have a driver's license for a little bit while I was working, that I had people fill in for on call for me for months at a time, and then I went on call for an extended period of time straight. And in that time, like, I didn't get called out a lot, so it wasn't a big deal. I went a 6-month period that I got called out like 8 times in 6 months, you know, whereas I've already gotten called out 7 times this week. So, I mean, like, it depends. It's when you get the bad week, and this would be one of those bad weeks, as I look at the phone again and make sure it's on and wonder why it's not ringing.
Well, Chris is having the worst week. I'm having the best week. Summer vacation has started. Ooh. I haven't left my house in the past 6 days.
Can I ask about that? When did it actually start? When was your last day of school?
Friday, January.
In January, I stopped paying attention.
June 26th.
No, that was my last day of school.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of odd. I always thought that school ended a lot earlier, and I felt like this was the first year that I was starting to notice, like, wait, why does everyone still seem like they're in school so late? Has the school schedule shifted at all, or is that just me? My perception is just skewed because I haven't been in school in 40 years.
They have added days since we've been since we've been out. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, because I remember, like, I mean, you know, when you were a senior in high school, graduation was really May. But, like, if you were... Yeah. No, it wasn't.
You see, that was unusual as well. Like a June graduation and an August start is always how I kind of felt. Maybe this was an upstate thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ours was definitely May.
When I came down here, people are ending in May and starting in September.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unusual for a little while. But apparently, I guess, like, it's going back to... it's now you're ending in June? Are you starting in August? When do you go back to school?
September 3rd, 4th. 4th is the first day, September 4th.
So September to – so if it was September to May is what it was, is what you think?
Before it was August to June. Like I started a little early. June was always graduation month for me, and August was always the beginning of school.
I've never once been in school in August. I mean, summer school, I guess. But I've never once started regular school in August, ever.
It was like that for me. And in college, I remember it being maybe, you know, late August, early September starting. And I remember working until June as well.
But I had to do my kindergarten graduation. If for those of you that don't know, I'm a kindergarten teacher's assistant, paraprofessional in the Board of Ed.
Did you graduate Sigma?
Sigma cum laude, yes.
By the way, was World's Greatest by R. Kelly the graduation song that you guys did? Or?
No, it wasn't. It was not. But I went through the ceremony, and they did a rendition of Eric Carle's Hungry Little Caterpillar that was very nice. And what, you don't know that?
No, I know that very well for I don't know, reasons that I shouldn't, because I spent far too much time in a neonatal intensive care unit, and the art from that book was decorating one of the hospitals I was in, so
just
I know
hang
the book
out
very
there.
Well. Yeah, I just like to hang. I
Saturdays.
Like to hang. Yeah, well, Saturdays, Sundays. Yeah. I like my weekends, nice. My spare time.
Picking up chicks.
So a couple
Fred, you break it up. That's Hungry Eyes from Dirty Dancing. Is that what you
yes,
said?
Yes, they performed Hungry Eyes from Dirty Dancing. And after Hungry Eyes was performed, they all got up and got their diploma. And now there is
kindergarten
diploma because, you know, they go into the first grade, you know. They do it at graduation kindergarten and fifth grade, because I work at a public school, so it's K-5. So it's the first grade and the last grade you go into.
Okay.
So they go up to get the diplomas. Now there are 3 kids in the class that are not graduating.
Oh,
that
no.
are being that
left
are being
back?
Left back, you know, due to various.
How
reasons.
Do you left? How do you leave back a kindergarten?
You get Fred as a teacher.
No, are you
that's how you get left. Back
yeah, Martin Luther King. He had a mustache. He's the guy with the mustache. I don't know. I think it's all he did. He grew a nice mustache. That is his historical accomplishment.
You leave them back because
he had a dream and a mustache.
They still don't know.
For
how
the record.
I
call leaving back a child in kindergarten doing it the best favor you could ever do for a child.
You're probably right.
If a child can't move on to first grade, then you're probably just starting a bad pattern by just letting them move
on. You're failing at naps.
You're absolutely right.
But that's my point. Kindergarten, is there really a heavy curriculum for
them
to
deal
with?
You need to know your ABCs. You need to know how to spell your name. You need to know
foundations.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. I'm not disagreeing. But what other things?
You have to read. You have to learn how to read, dude. My daughter just graduated kindergarten, and part of it was reading. Yep. She had to read, not just learn ABCs, learn words and read.
Not words, well.
You don't need to read well, but you need to know.
Okay, and again, I don't want to be like, oh, well, my kid hasn't started kindergarten yet, and she already knows how to read. So I just thought that was, by that age, that they would know how to read already.
A lot of these kids, this is their first year, never went to preschool.
Yep.
A lot of these kids, this is their first year, never been in a school ever. So, you know, it's sometimes good to hold
Yeah, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, maybe my kid being in preschool gave her the kindergarten backbone in advance.
Darwin, man, survival of the fittest. You got to weed that herd out as much as you can at the beginning. If they can't handle kindergarten, how are they going to handle first grade?
Exactly.
Man? You got to do it again. Run it through the system.
So the diplomas that they got, they weren't real diplomas. They were like a little book and a bear with a cap and gown on the little teddy bear. So it's a little teddy bear with a cap and gown and a book like the old woman that swallowed a fly. They each got. And the teacher of the class says to me, and I love this teacher, but this is the most craziest thing that she's made me do all year. She goes, Fred, I want you to cut the cap and gown off the three bears of the kids that are graduating.
Dude, on my soul, I was waiting to say, like, my big joke was going to be, and what, are the bears frowning in the three kids who didn't graduate? I was thinking it as a joke. They actually legitimately had to know that they were failures at that moment. You had to let them know.
I looked at the teacher, and I was like, you really? You really want me to do it? She goes, yeah, yeah, okay. I said, okay. So I begin to cut off these cap and gown off these bears, and they're sewed on to like the size of the head. So now I'm like,
are there people watching you?
I'm doing it in the corner all by myself. The kids don't even know what I'm doing. So I'm like,
the three do, I bet. They're watching you.
So I'm cutting the cap off, and it's like hitting the scalp, and like there's a stuffing coming out of the bear's head that I have to reattach. And you know, the gown, it looks like a Frankenstein bear when I'm done with it. Like threads are coming out.
When was the decision made to that these kids are getting left back? You knew this before this day, right?
A month ago, yeah.
Still go through on the bear.
I have an idea. Go to get a different bear. Get three bears that don't have caps and gowns on them. Why do you have to mangle them 2 minutes before graduation?
That teacher definitely should have spent another year in kindergarten.
Three little bears with like tattered clothes and like a stick with a rag tied to it.
Just hand him a piece of paper that says, see you next year, dummy. That's all you got to say.
Dunce caps. Little dunce caps instead of graduation caps.
Nice.
So, you know, then the ceremony kind of goes, you know, they finish the song and they all collect their collect their book and their bear. And out of the corner of my ear, I hear one kid say, why does my bear look different? And I'm just like, oh my God, it was so cringeworthy. Like, I just felt so bad.
If that kid doesn't know the answer to that question, maybe he should have been held back.
Really? Come on.
If you're a kid and you kind of see that's don't you know failure at that point? Haven't you gotten a little heads up that things might be a little...
Kindergarten.
Yeah.
Six. Five, dude.
Really?
Six. Little.
And this little kid's like, but I answered Fred's, your last name, Fred's questions. And when I talked into his iPod all year, throughout the year, I got those questions right.
Oh, God.
The game shows next year, we'll hear the same voices again, but now they'll be a little more mature.
Circles.
I remember this from last time, Mr. Fred. I remember from last time. I got it. Could you help me shave?
And I felt so bad that...
Did you tell them? Did you answer that question?
What do you mean? Why is... No,
why
I
is my
no,
bear
I,
look
I,
different?
I walked away. I like turned my head. I didn't do eye contact. I just heard it like... from the side, and I said, I'm not even going to go address it.
I so wish you brought the clippings in from the bears.
Oh, no, we could. It's better on our mind's eye.
But another thing that I was getting during this whole last week was I was getting fifth graders coming up to me asking for me to sign their yearbook. And now I'm like, I got maybe like five or six, you know, fifth graders. Hey, you know, will you sign my yearbook?
Do you know them?
I don't really. I didn't really even know them.
You were a joke. You were the punchline.
Was I?
No,
you were the punchline.
Teacher. You're the teacher. You're
a fifth grader that doesn't know him. Why would they go get the kindergarten teachers to sign their book? He was the punchline for the joke. He absolutely was.
What's the joke? I guess I don't get it.
That these kids, I don't know, I'm not in the fifth grade. They would have me sign in too. But there's something that dude goes to kindergarten teacher to sign your book. There's something to it.
What?
Why would you want a kindergarten teacher to sign your book? A
maybe
kindergarten
they teacher? Think he's cool. Are they?
They like, never. He's saying he didn't know them.
I really didn't know them. But it's a small school. I mean, there's two grades to every class. So, but most of them I had to look to see what other people wrote them to even get their names. I was like, oh, thank you, Emily, and I look back up at her when I say, so
I think Fred's a celebrity. I think he's a celebrity in there. I don't think it's a joke.
Is,
I think
he is also the only guy at the school.
I think he rolls into the school. He's the youngest cat. He's wearing those sunglasses. And
you don't wear the sunglasses to school,
oh,
do you?
Oh, definitely. All the time.
I think he rolls
guys
heavy.
Or girls that we're asking?
Majority girls. One dude.
Of course.
Oh, so they want to nail you.
Yes.
That's different. You're the hot old. You're the hot teacher at the school.
That's
that
exactly what it is.
Okay,
he's
different.
A celebrity. He's,
that's different.
There's something. Yeah, there's no joke to it.
But tell me if this is all right, because I wrote the same thing on everybody's yearbook. I said, dear so-and-so, have a great summer.
May your future involve bears with graduation caps.
You should just come up with you should just give it a stamp. Like a stamp that says to my close personal friend and then like sign their name into it.
But I said, dear so-and-so, have a great summer. Good luck in sixth grade, Mr. G. Oh, and I wrote KIT and then in my phone number as well.
No, you did
yes,
not.
Yes, I did.
You gave
Is
phone numbers
bad?
To fifth grade kids that you don't know?
That's
I think
bad.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What's KIT?
Keep in touch, bro.
Oh, my God.
I figure I'd
you
get
do
some...
it. You did not.
He's definitely faking.
Lie
he's
of the
definitely
week. That's Fred's lie
Absolutely.
Of the week.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I just found it.
I definitely didn't give my phone number out. That would be over the top. That I would
and illegal, I think. You
absolutely.
Might get arrested if you...
But I'd probably
money.
Get pranked. I'd probably get pranked 1,000 times before I would get
I'm
arrested.
I'm telling you, someplace in my mind, I think that you partially got pranked already. By the boy who got your autograph in the book, I think that he's somehow punking you in some way. Like, he went home, he left right after that, went over to one of his friends and wrote the word douche with an arrow and pointed at your name or something. Like, I think that's what's happening.
I think it's burgeoning sexuality. That's the kid who's early on in his life realizing that he might be a little different from the rest of
his
friends.
He also has a crush on Mr. G.
That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Okay. Well, to the kid, I didn't say have a great summer. I said have an awesome summer. So, I differentiated a little bit.
For the boy?
For the boy, yeah.
He's going to have an awesome. You should have said have a fabulous summer.
Have an awesome summer.
But it brought me back to when, in high school, signing people's yearbooks and... I was reading such deuce-chilling, goodbyes in these fifth-graders' books, because as I'm, trying to...
We're going
to
be best friends forever! I'll see you next year at IS9! We're going to rule the school together!
That's exactly what I was reading. As I'm trying to write my own, little thing...
Did you leaf through it?
I'm trying to leaf... Yes, I'm trying to leaf through it, turning pages.
Nosy bastards!
Seeing what people wrote...
Oh, I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's what you should
right?
be. You're a teacher. You're making sure there's nothing inappropriate in any of these books.
Exactly. That's how I was going through my head. I need to make sure.
This is the excuse I have when someone asks why I'm reading right. what 9-year-old girls are saying to each other.
What is the best thing that you've seen? What can you possibly think of witty to sign in your fake friend's book in fifth grade?
I swear on my life. I read one girl's thing, and it was a little cryptic, but it said, this summer, I'm going to become a girl.
We are getting so late.
No,
that's what she's saying.
I swear to God, this summer, I'm going to become a girl. Like, to one of her friends.
Not a woman, a girl.
A girl, yeah.
But what was she before, an infant?
Exactly. And a hee-hee or a LOL or something after it or something like that.
That means oral sex. Is that what that means? Is that what she's suggesting?
No, but some of them were very creepy, these yearbook messages. It was
fifth grade. That's not that.
And I wanted to read other teachers' yearbook messages because mine was certainly the most had no feeling to it whatsoever. All the other teachers were like, you were such a great student. I appreciate you so much, and had these great, little words of wisdom.
But what are you going to put?
Have a good summer.
I just met you. Congrats.
Yeah.
What are you possibly going to write?
But still, I couldn't come up with any, words of wisdom or anything. You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh, I'm coming up with this. So you know what? You're probably right. They probably did read that and did write douche above my name.
The next one that you, next year, just so you're ready for this, every kid's book, just write, if the van is a rockin', don't come and knock it. That's exactly, those are the words of wisdom that you got to put in the books.
The first one's for free.
Oh,
Mr. G.
Man. Oh, man. But, yo, now I'm on summer vacation mode. I haven't left the house in 5 days, and I'm loving it, man. Loving it. Got about 75 more days to do absolutely nothing. I feel like Brian. I really do. I feel like you.
Yeah, but just for a month.
But a little bit happier, I guess. A little more sane.
By the way, Entropy is saying in the Heroes Talk, we can't believe that little kids have orgies now. Why wasn't he born later in life? Fifth grade orgies are what's going on.
Yeah, but they're kid orgies. What do they know? I mean, what do you think they're doing at the orgies?
Somebody's getting the first base, I bet.
Sick.
They don't even know.
Wait, are you talking about Pristine playing baseball in the
Pal
Talk room? Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great that these little kids are clowning you behind your back. I think it's awesome.
He's a celebrity. You're the cool teacher. You're the young, cool cat.
That's definitely your thought process, Brian. Definitely would be your
thought process. You win. You won at that competition. You won at the yearbook competition. You beat all those kindergarten teachers.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. But I have nothing to do for the summer, and I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you have any ideas?
I have a great idea.
What do you think?
Get those lists to Keith every week with your topics. Now that you have a lot of free time, you can actually let him know what you're going to talk about on the show.
Now that I'm doing nothing, what the hell am I going to write? Have my topic about? Write a topic about? Staying at home for 3 weeks, how I haven't left my house.
Welcome to my world.
I was
going to
say, that's the Brian. You do the Brian list.
That's another constant source of stress for the show. I got nothing to talk about. Literally, and when I do walk outside the door and spend 15 minutes amongst the general population, 5 topics. That's all I need.
You get them?
Yeah. They approach you in the street like a plague.
Well, I'm glad they come quicker to you, because they do not come quick to me at all.
Yeah, it's just being alone. That's the problem. You don't like being alone.
I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. There's a Brian story I'm absolutely dying to hear. So what say after the break? We prove that Brian definitely has something worthy of talking about.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. We'll do that after the break here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Video games.
You're listening to Best in Show on HeroesTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hi, this is Keith from Best in Show Radio, and you're listening to HeroesTalk.com. Come to the Freddy at our party, live on HeroesTalk.com. Join Keith, Chris, Brian, and Rob on Best in Show Radio, live Mondays and Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. And don't forget the DJ New Style Show, live Tuesdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on HeroesTalk.com. Come to the Freddy with us all week long.
You're listening to Best in Show Radio on HeroesTalk.com. This is Ron Hill of the band Trip the Fan with a prepared statement. I, Ron Hill, am not allowed to talk about my wife on the radio. I am allowed to talk about the band, the dogs and cats, work, my interesting life so far. Just not my wife. Signed, Ron Hill.
All my friends, they are fighting for a self-beast of the pot.
Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with your ears, place to be. To our buddies Tryptophan there. Their record just came out, Destroy Fashion, Extemporize. You can get that at CD Baby. I think you just go to tryptophanmusic.com and enjoy it. It'll be a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing for you and your family. Like, I enjoyed the record quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Perfect family gift.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I like to give gifts to my family as best as I can, especially on this holiday, this July 4th. I like to give gifts for it.
Just outside smoking a cigarette with Bri. Not a single word I said. The only words I said was, pretty hot in there, huh? That was the only thing. 5 minutes. The whole break. Not a word was said. And I take off the headphones. I go, pretty hot in there. He goes, that's great. I love you.
You know why it's hot in there?
Wait, that's what he said.
He's
that's
like,
great.
I like this. I like this. You're with the headphones on. You're not talking. There's none of this going on, Brian said. And as he's doing.
And it's hot in here because Brian has the fan aimed just on him, not on you. He's not making
pleasant.
It oscillate.
In this seat, it feels quite nice.
Well, Keith, I'm very excited. What Brian story do you have for us?
Oh, no, I don't have a Brian story. I think Brian has a story for all of us, though.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I think I know what he's referring to. Okay, are you guys ready? Ready for the story?
Yeah, let me get
waiting with bated breath.
Let me get my vomit bag.
Yeah, let's get to it.
I saved a child's life.
For real?
For real.
What do you mean?
Like I said, it's like you walk out in the street, you throw yourself amongst the general population, and topics happen. I'm walking down the street running an errand, in my neighborhood of Brooklyn, and I'm approaching a relatively busy intersection.
Going to one of your 12 delis that you visit each day?
Easy, pal. I usually have to deliver. No, if you must know, I was going to the bank, and as you're probably aware, most banks are on busy corner intersections. I was just approaching it, kind of figuring out how I was going to cross the street and how I was going to avoid the massive people. I don't know if you guys are like me, but you see a massive people and you pick like your line, like how you're going to get around and like see the people that you're going to walk around and what's going to happen. So you immediately take a snapshot of like dimwits. Who's going to be walking slow? What children are around you that are going to like jump on your leg or something?
Who's going to be the obstacle in this whole?
Yep. And there was a family, a mother and two children. I can't estimate their ages, but they were maybe like 3 feet high. I don't know. Single
and
digits.
Rising.
They were single digits. And it was like a boy and a girl. And as I was approaching them, I knew they were going to be trouble just because they were tiny little people. But it's mom was sort of paying attention to them as they were approaching the intersection just because there's cars around and she has to. But she, I guess, wasn't really understanding of how manipulative children can be because it's like they huddled together and they broke. And one of them went darting for like one part of the road at which was being intersected, and the other one jumped for the other. And
they were on a split
exactly,
screen.
Exactly. Yeah, and there was only one mom between them.
We actually call that the wildcat. That's what that's the wildcat offense. It's very good. It's very effective.
I thought it was a dodge leg F or something. I don't know.
And which sex of child was running into the street?
They were both running into the street. It's just they were running into different streets.
Okay.
And they were so close that the timing, everything kind of like unraveled in slow motion at that point. I took, it's like.
I'm just picturing Brian, no! Like slow-mo going to save the day.
It was even worse because like the mother instantaneously like forgot what she was doing at the moment, saw what was happening, like summed everything up. And like we caught eyes, and I realized when I locked, and I saw the fear in her eyes that she had to make like Sophie's choice, like she had to
which
figure out
which child is
like,
she going to go for. I would have just stood still and seen which one she picked. That is great.
Strangely enough, when she did that, she was looking right at me, and perhaps it was because I was like in close proximity to him, and like I kind of looked at her as she was looking at me in that panicked look, and I raised my eyebrows and pointed to one kid. And she accept like with a nod of her eyes or a blink of her eyes and a nod of her head went and she sort of like without any
gave
kind
you
of
go
verbal
that
communication.
Touch my child.
Yeah, go save that kid, and she's gonna run after the other.
Whoa!
She went after the girl. I went after the guy, the boy. The boy was faster and farther away, So I knew there was some speed involved in it. And I got there just in time, grabbed him by the shirt, and picked him and pulled him back from the street. She just kind of like scrambled up to the little girl and said, no, no, no. And the kid was like on a bead. Like he was on a mission. He wanted to get to the bank before I did or something. I don't know. But he ran right out into traffic and I stopped him like just as his foot was getting out there and I pulled him back.
Did you tell him a joke
or
something?
How close to collision would you say you yanked him? Where in the jaws of death did you pull him
from? He wasn't – there were cars moving on the streets in high enough speed that if he actually made it out into traffic, he probably would have gotten hit. But it wasn't like I pulled him inches away from it. If I allowed him to take maybe 3 or 4 more steps, he would have been in traffic and probably hit by a car.
How many feet do you think you ran after this kid? A block?
No. It was like two leaps. Okay. Like literally it all happened right when I was in spitting distance of both of them. And I wanted to spit on one of them.
When you delivered the child to the mother, does she give you a thank you? Does she give you a 5 spot? What does she do?
She did.
High five. A high five and a pat on the ass, like you did a good job in the ball game.
She actually went shucks, like she wanted to lose the kid.
It's messed up because as I was saying before, the slow mo of you going no, I was thinking that Brian would be the one saying yes,
run.
I think there's candy on the bumper of that car.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of issues that in post, like it all happened in the flood of a second, and literally it did slow down and. In the end, after all said and done, I mean, it's just kids, you know.
Look at Brian, just kids.
A couple of things that were that like kind of raced through my head afterwards is, first of all, are kids just really trying hard to drive their parents crazy? Because they had to pick their moment perfectly and decide what to do. It was like they had to plan that. They had to plan it in order to make the mother freak out. And I just—is that what children do?
No,
is that
the kids
how
don't
children
plan
work?
It. No.
Like, did one see something shiny there, and they really were like, ooh.
How old are these kids?
It's hard for me to estimate age. I'm really bad at it.
Somewhere between 1 and 30, yeah.
They were both walking, but you could tell that they're not very good with the walking, so they're kind of stumbling quickly towards, like, you know, out into. So
I'm trying to use that to judge how much they were in cahoots with each other or how much of it was just that they just happened to bolt at the same time.
Sounds like they're like 3 or 4 year olds. You know, I don't think they're in cahoots with each
other. Which makes me think that it's not as planned as rehearsed and, all right, this is where we make our big break.
How is it they just, then it's natural to them? It's just natural for children
for a child,
to drive parents crazy.
No,
to do wrong things all the time.
When a child learns how to walk, to start running in any direction and not understand the concept of a vehicle that can smash them.
Yeah, it needs to be learned. Do you not think, when you have a kid, Bri, that it's just going to grow up knowing everything? You need to teach it.
That's why it depends on what the age the kids were. Like, if you were to tell me that these kids were like 6 and 8, then yeah, they're trying to F with the mother.
I don't think they were 3. I mean, they seemed like they were.
If they were 24 and 27, like Entropy is suggesting in the chat room, then yes, I think that they're actually trying to F with her. But if they were, I mean, if the kids are, you know, like 2 and 3 years old or 3 and 3.5 years old, then I think they're just kids saying, hey, I'm running. Woo! Let's go.
It seemed like one moment they were fine, and therefore mom, like, just a little bit dropped her guard down and was able to, like, look for her keys, or I don't even know what she was doing. I couldn't really kind of recall that. But, I mean, literally, they were fine, and then in the next second, as she, like, blinked and opened her eyes back again, they were going for it in each of different directions. Like, they were going to shake her.
Yeah, sort of like two parents driving down peacefully, and all of a sudden, the mother gets a fist to the back of the head because somebody's doing a flashlight. You know what I mean? That's what kids do, my friend. Kids just do those things.
I will say this, man. As the story's going, as Brian said, hey, you know, do kids really just do this? I remember when I was in the third grade, my mother didn't trust me to be home alone yet at that point, but my mother worked. So my Aunt Lee used to pick me up from school, and I used to stay at her house till my mom got home from work. And at my Aunt Lee's house, while we were on the way, the commute from school to Aunt Lee's house, when I realized the complexity of a vehicle and what goes on in it and realized that I could impact it.
How old were you?
Third grade. What's that? 7, 8? Somewhere in there.
This is probably the general age that I'm thinking these kids were.
Okay, 7 and 8 is definitely. Then they're in cahoots. But you just said that they didn't know how to walk yet.
Like,
7 and 8, you know how to walk.
Like they weren't. They were kind of. You can tell they really weren't good with their physical being yet. But they could walk around. Like you could tell they were. They were just kind of like. they were people that can walk in a straight line but choose not to because they look around everywhere and
It was that they were wilding, not the fact that they were
I don't think they were drunk, Chris, if that's what you're trying to suggest.
But they were just like kids, just being like, wah, you know, just like running around like little nuts.
And it changed on a dime. Like literally they were cool and then the next set, and it was like, woohoo! And boom! They bolted. Right.
But that's my point. It wasn't the fact that they lacked the motor skills. It was the fact that they were just like, whatever, blah, and went like lunatics.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure I'm going to take them, both of them, though. Like, if I need to.
Well, I
can handle myself pretty well.
Well, so I noticed that I could impact a vehicle at that point, because as my Aunt Lee drove, I realized that if I grabbed the steering wheel and yanked it out of her hand while she was driving, that the car would swerve. And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And Aunt Lee also thought it was hilarious. She freaked out and started yelling, but was laughing at the same time because she couldn't believe it. And at that point, I mean, what else could she possibly do? I shouldn't say what else could she possibly do, but at the point that she's laughing and realizing that she's getting this reaction from me, she basically just threw gasoline all over the fire that you started. For every drive from that day forward, I would try and yank that steering wheel out of her hand while she was driving, giggling like a madman the entire way.
Why? Because the whole world is a stage. Everything is a performance to you. I know exactly what you're thinking.
Because
Aunt Lee didn't teach Chris that that's the wrong thing to do. She would have said, that's not good. We could both be killed. Oh, I'm not laughing.
Do you think that would have slowed down a Chris? Absolutely. Or any child, for that matter? Absolutely. This is wrong?
Yes, this is wrong. You could die.
That stops
out.
Children?
Absolutely.
If you said that to me as like a 6-7-year-old child, I'd probably end up doing it more. Wouldn't you? Don't you think there's some children out there, like Chris, for example, that would want to yank that steering wheel even more if you knew it pissed off Aunt?
I guess you're right.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do it. It was a lot of fun to do it. I remember, I'm telling you, I haven't thought about this in years, but when Brian just brought it up, it just like clicked in my head that I remember driving home with Aunt Lee and just grabbing and yanking that steering wheel out of her hand and just thinking it was hilarious. It was hilarious. If she didn't laugh, I got the reaction.
Yeah.
I saw it, and it fueled me. It was
just
great.
Seems like kids don't do things like that on mistake. Like that's a planned event. Like they had to go out of their way to bolt in completely different directions in very desperate like situations and forcing her to have to choose.
4 years old, run, yay! I see it. 8 years old, we're effing with her. Right. It depends where
you
on the scale between 4 and 8 that they are.
And did she thank you when you brought him back?
She did. When I caught the child, she's like, she apologized for some reason for, I guess, her dumb kids. And then, like, thanked me for helping her out. Which, I guess that was another issue. I mean, I guess it's okay for – I'm trying to paint the possible picture that if I had a child, painting myself in that situation, would I be okay with a stranger – because my nature, my initial...
I wouldn't be okay with a stranger. I would much rather my kid be dead on the asphalt in front of me.
Well, that's what I mean. If something happened like that and I'm mom and I'm sitting there and the two kids go, I'm not looking at the strangers next to me asking for help. I'm freaking out. You know, I'm diving after one or kind of, you know...
But you can't save two.
Right. That's what I mean. But I, as a person, I don't think I would ever even consider a stranger would step in and help.
As a person, you would never think to utter the word help.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
You know, that's...
But I mean...
Why don't you stop and get to know them first? You know, make a character judgment and see if maybe they're worthy of saving your children or trustworthy.
I don't think, like I said before, I think we had these conversations at length. I think the right thing to do is to let that kid run out into traffic and let Darwin make the choice. Oh. But the emotional logic part inside of me is I'm going to save that kid from jumping out in front of the car. But I still felt compelled to sort of like... Or maybe it's because I knew I had the time to ask permission to touch your child.
I just feel like Brian is sitting there saying, I guess I'll throw society a bone and save this kid.
Well, that was my next question, Brian, that you just touched upon. How much touching did you have to do? Because if this is a 4-year-old kid, you have to grab it by its shoulders, turn it around, walk it over.
Just so we say right here, our buddy Barb says it in the Heroes Talk Room. So you had a purpose that day.
Ah.
At least for that kid's life, you definitely had a purpose that day.
I don't agree with that. First of all, I think the throwing the society the bone would be let that kid run out into traffic and let the society make the choice about who deserves to live and who deserves not to. If we want to have cars and we're going to have kids die, if we're going to have kids die in them, it'll be the ones that run out in front of them. And, you know, doing the society the favor would be letting the kid go. But – the purpose.
So you threw a monkey wrench into society by keeping that kid alive another day.
I hurt society by letting another human being consume the resources of our society. And,
Darwin. I smite you and your plan. Yeah.
Well, Brian, what if that kid goes on to murder 45 stupid people in his life?
Well,
to you, is that justified then?
That's a good point. That's a good point. If he does turn out to be a serial murderer, maybe I did society a favor.
Did you talk to the kid in between walking him back to the mom?
I didn't because...
Have a conversation?
Literally, they weren't that far apart. They were right on the corner, and one guy went to, like, you know, this avenue, and the other one went to the street. And they were... In the end, they were maybe 6 feet apart from each other. And my touching of the child involved no, if any... Very little skin contact because I just reached out.
Ew, you just made this sound so dirty all of a sudden.
I reached out and I grabbed him by the back of his shirt and literally pulled him back, sort of lifted him off of his feet
aggressive.
Onto the sidewalk.
Really? Like a little cat? Taking it from behind its neck?
But it's like, it's almost like I was.
We were just talking about a little kid. He just said little skin contact and you just said something about taking him from behind. Can we stop with this?
No,
we're talking about children.
He picked up the kid like a little cat from the nape of its neck and brought it up to
the
sidewalk.
Shirt. When I grabbed him on his shirt, I could hear like the pop, pop, pop of like the little threads on the sleeves kind of like stretching and stuff.
It would be so great if she ended up by saying, by the way, you owe me $10 for that trip. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is Walter Sobchak.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you? Fantastic, fantastic. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to call and let Brian know that he's my hero.
Seriously.
And, actually, what's funny about it is when y'all are sitting here talking about kids, what's funny isn't so much what kids do, it's what they make you do as a parent. Ugh. You know, you don't know fear and you don't know anger like you do trying to convince a three-year-old to take medicine, you know. But what happens is you can go back and look at your parents and see how crazy they sounded when you just realize kids just do this crazy stuff and they just run off and do crazy things and hold a kitchen knife like it's a play toy, and you're, oh my God.
Right, and that's what I mean. They're picking up kitchen knives and hair curlers. It's like the precise thing that you're not supposed to do.
But they're the precise things that they don't see every day, and if they're, oh, look at that, there's a thing I've never seen before that mom doesn't let me play with, that dad doesn't let me play with, of course I'm going to grab it and go for it.
I think it's the hook that mom and dad aren't letting you play with it. It's, they know it's bad, and therefore let's try to get over on mom and dad.
Well, That would make sense, but I've watched my kids do things that I know they don't want me to do, like dig into a closet, grab a broom or something. But they're also kids; they don't think about it. They just do it. They just go. You know, if you told them to run in one direction, they would just run wherever. They don't think about it. They just grab it. Oh, look! I got a knife. You know, and they're scraping up the walls and stabbing themselves with it. You don't know.
That's what my original question had to do, is it seems like there's more than just random chaos happening. I would understand that if they just kind of like, ooh, shiny, and ran into the building or like jumped onto like the side. They literally picked the precise worst place to go, and they did it at precisely the right time drive mom nuts.
But you don't think kids ever play tag and where they run away from each other, go, just scream and run away from each other?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, that chaos wouldn't have resulted in going in those exact directions. That would have...
Here's the thing, like, for example, but that's by being a parent, is being in the right place. Like, my son accidentally fell into a pool, but I was standing right there, so, yeah, he was standing near a pool, and I was watching him, and he fell in, but I was standing up there, got him, it was no big incident.
See, you say fall, I say jump.
If I had been not paying attention and 15 feet away, there might have been a tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know? It's just one of the things about being a parent, so that's why when you get older as a parent, before I forget, one of these days Fred's going to realize that he's now the principal, like on Breakfast Club at that school. He's not cool anymore. He's not the cool teacher. He's that principal now.
Oh, that's not true.
Whenever you realize that you're not cool anymore, when you're like, especially when Chris realizes that he gets excited when his daughter's finally potty trained, you used to think you were cool, and you're jumping up and down like a little kid when you're... daughter can do things that all human beings can do.
Look at you. Look at you go. You can walk upright. Yay! Yeah, you've done it.
Yeah, and you're at a party with a bunch of your friends, and you think, hey, a couple years ago, we used to sit about and talk about banging chicks and drinking beer, and all we're doing is talking about what each other's kids are wearing, and my kid's walking at 13 months, and what happened?
I'll be 100% honest. I definitely intentionally find myself curbing that. I find myself curbing that fairly often. That I always know that that's a thing that that I can very easily lapse into because my life consists of obviously very different things than it did a few years
ago. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
What about that new McLaren that's out?
Oh my God! I don't even know what that means.
You don't know what a McLaren is?
A McLaren? What's that?
A stroller.
Phineas and Ferb, I don't know what it is.
Oh, dude, Phineas and Ferb, dude, I'll talk to you about Secret Agent P all day long, every day, and Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated. Don't get me started.
But, well, I'll leave you guys alone. I'll talk to y'all later.
Excellent, buddy. Thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. It's our buddy Walter Sobchak. By the way, he was fantastic last night. I really loved you in that film last night.
But their decision-making process in their brains hasn't been fully developed. Children, they cannot they don't know the difference between right and wrong, or safe and unsafe.
That's too easy. There's a part of me that thinks that we're fooling ourselves, and they know, and they're doing it on purpose. Like, there's some of them that are out there that are mischievous enough that know exactly when to break from mom and run in that direction. And hey, you sis, you go this way. Let's drive her freaking nuts. They're huddling together, making decisions.
I'm convinced that there is that a lot of what goes on in a kid's psyche and what goes on in a kid's head is thinking that the things I'm not allowed to do or I'm being told I'm not allowed to do are because there's some sort of fun there that they don't want me to have yet.
Right.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. What age do you think kids stop playing cruel tricks on their parents?
35. Cruel tricks? I think cruel tricks, depending on the personality, could never end.
Because it's funny, because when I was like when I was maybe like 21 years old, my brother was, I guess, about 25. And we were both living at home, and my mom had just found out that, like, that I had been, like, doing some sorts of illegal drugs and was, like, completely bent out of shape. It was the first time she had ever heard this, and she was, like, losing her mind. And my brother decided, like, within 24 hours of her finding out, while she's all on edge and crazy, he thought it would be a good idea to take, like, a little baggie, a little envelope, and, like, fill it up with baking powder and seal it, and then go to her and say, "Yeah, I found this outside of Keith's room. Do you know what this is?"
That's a good joke. Dude, that's a funny joke.
I have a very similar thing. My brother got busted for very similar things, and I called my mom as a cop saying that her son passed away in jail.
Passed away.
Sorry to report. I even came up with a name, like Officer. I was in college. Like I hadn't seen her in a long time. She hadn't heard my voice. She flipped out.
Hey, Brian. Why do those kids dart in different directions at the street corner? Why don't you ask yourself that?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I expect it from idiot adults like me. But it's just surprising to see that kids do it and do it so well and take us by surprise.
Did she cry?
She definitely was, like, panicky.
You're a horrible
human. I could hear the shakes in her. And
horrible.
I thought she knew it was me.
And you were laughing inside?
I thought she knew it was me. I was laughing as I was saying it. And awesome. And then I realized that it was real, and I had to apologize immediately.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
What up? It's Jay Miller.
Hey, what's up, Jay? What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, when I was, like, 16 years old, I'm in my room, and my sister yells down, "Jay, put on Oprah." It, like, screams it throughout the whole house. So, of course, I put on Oprah, and of course it's a show about gambling. But, but of course, my mom and dad both put the TV on Oprah also. So they come into my room like, "Why did she tell you to put this show on?" I'm like, "I don't know. I guess, like, Oprah is good." And then my dad, "Where's that $100 I gave you yesterday?" Of course, the $100 went to pay my gambling debts. And I'm like, "What? I went and bought clothes with it." He's like, "Let me see." And I'm like, "Oh, it's in the drawer." And so I'm like fishing through the drawer. And luckily I found a pair of jeans that I got for Christmas that I haven't worn. And I'm like, "Right here. The tags are on it." And then he couldn't say anything. And I was like, "See?
You damn kids. Curses."
I really thought you were going to say he had bought you those jeans for Christmas.
No, he never bought me anything.
That's why you always had to gamble to try and make ends meet. I understand. It was a tough life.
His dad gambled all of his money away.
Awesome. Almost.
Yeah, he kind of did. But that's a whole other show.
You don't say.
Also, I went to the doctor today. And, you know, me and Chris go to the same doctor. And I see Chris is signed in. And where I sign in, it says Monty is in the house. So I figured that Chris wrote that, right?
Of course.
Wait. What do you mean? On the sign-in sheet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then underneath that, someone points an arrow to Monty who's in the house and writes, Herb.
What?
Wait.
To which I, underneath Herb, I point to Herb and write, no, you are.
Wait, slow down.
Are we talking about Freddy's yearbook?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
This is you went to your doctor's appointment, and after your appointment, you looked back where you had already signed?
No, this is when I got there. Someone had already filled in, Monty is in the house.
But just on their own, not your name, not necessarily next to your name, just like in general, they wrote the word Monty is in the house on there.
Right, in the space that I was going to be signing my name.
So somebody that knows you knows that you go there, and another person that you know goes there, is what you're saying.
Well, it wound up the doctor.
The doctor called
and
you
I
a herb.
I think he was playing some sort of joke on me and you, Chris. Like, so I'm like, so I walk in the room. I'm like, oh, Chris wrote Monty is in the house. And he's like, no, I wrote that. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, but someone wrote Herb underneath it. And he was like, yeah, I didn't write that one.
Yeah. First of all, there would be no way that I would know when you were signing in. I don't know what time your appointment is, but that's great. I think it's phenomenal that the guy that's supposed to be helping you with your head is doing things to F with you. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Monty,
But then he had to look to see. He was like, oh, I better check and see who the next person is, because now there's all this strange writing on his sheet, and he's going to have one of his nutcases come in, and they're going to, like, freak out. Who's Monty? Why is he in the house? Who's a Herb?
Oh, my God. Do you really make your doctor call you Monty?
No, I don't.
He calls you Jay?
Yeah, he calls me Jay. Okay.
He calls me Sam. He calls me Herb, actually. It's very strange.
Well, Jay, I'm sure you had a heart-to-heart with him during this Wednesday or Thursday, whenever you go, no?
Yeah, because I hung out with my ex-bandmates on Sunday,
uh-oh,
which includes Fred and Debo and Money. And we're like, why don't we just get together and just play around? Now, I've worked out, like, a lot of my anger issues with the band, you know. I don't really, like, have ill feelings towards them.
By them, you mean Fred, right? Because he was really the only one that you really had issues with, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, a little bit with everyone, mostly Fred.
Okay. I'm trying to set the stage just if anyone doesn't remember the history of the Monty Love and the breakup and all that sort of stuff. That a lot of the older issues that you would have were directly related to issues between you and Fred specifically.
Right, but also the band isn't serious to me anymore. So if we go to practice and we're unproductive, you know, I don't really care. You know what I mean? We're just, like, hanging out.
Right on,
you know?
Right.
So,
being unproductive at a hangout isn't nearly as a big a deal as a band that is signed and actually has a record out and you're trying to do things and move forward mm-hmm. with it, not being productive. It's dramatically different.
Exactly. If we don't move forward, I mean, we're not moving anyway, so it doesn't. What's the difference? And I would think, Grave, you would say that I'm, you know, much looser now, right?
Absolutely. You were like a totally a breath of fresh air. At that studio. And that studio stunk, I'll tell you. But Jay was a breath of fresh air. And
the thing is, I say that, listen, if you guys want to get together, schedule the practice, and I'll come. The difference is I'm not going to be scheduling practices. I'm not going to be figuring out when you guys can make it.
You're not
going to
be the lead guy.
I'm not the leader anymore.
Yeah.
You tell me when to show up. I'll bring a microphone, and I'll show up. You know?
So the leader now has become Money, who is the youngest person in the band. He's like 24, and he's a mess now. He's an absolute mess. And I just saw Money ruin Jay's whole therapy sessions that he's gone to for the last 6 months. I saw Monty crumble. Like, he got so pissed off at Money. It was unreal. Like, he was, like, I
you
saw
mean
him.
He angered him?
Yes.
He got him all, disheveled.
I saw Jay at one point turn around and, count to 10.
He was the Brian to his Chris?
It was unreal.
Wait, legitimately, that you actually had to do, breathing, needles and pins, needles and pins.
Yes.
That's how serious it got.
A Serenity Now moment.
I was fighting with myself. I was like, wait a minute. am I mad because I always get mad and this is just the way that I always am? Or is this like the new me and I'm just like really mad? Like, I don't know what's going on right now. But I knew that it was like the old feelings all came back. But let me set it up and tell you why. Because first of all, I'm on vacation. It's my second day of vacation, right? They call me up the night before, you know, we're going to meet for practice. Okay, what time does like normal people meet for band practice? 9 a.m? Who does that? 9 a.m, we're meeting for band practice.
You gotta get breakfast. You gotta get breakfast. You know, it's an exciting time
on a Sunday. On a Sunday where the other two bandmates have work, I think the earlier the better. 9 o'clock might have been a little jump in the gun, maybe, but I don't think an early afternoon practice.
But I said, hey, that's fine with me. You guys go and set up. I'll meet you when I wake up. I'll meet you like 11 o'clock or noon, right? That's fine. I don't need to be there.
Wait a second. You're proposing that the band's going to get together at 9, and 2 hours later you're just going to saunter in, and okay, you guys ready for me?
Yep. I'm the singer. They could practice. They could write songs.
You're part of the band. You're the band's namesake. Shouldn't you be the person driving the whole setup?
Well, that's the whole point is what he's saying. He's not driving anymore.
I'm not driving anymore. I'm not even a designated driver.
Designated backseat relaxer looking out the window.
No, no more writing songs. There. No more doing any of that for you, Monty.
I am back middle hump.
I think you're in the trunk. He's in the trunk.
He's sitting on the hump seat. He doesn't even care. He's actually catching a bus. He's calling a cab after the time.
I come in and write lyrics and sing songs, but they could do it without me. You know what I mean?
Now, it's like 9 a.m, and we get there, and now Jay has a second job where he cleans up these studios. He, like, actually takes out the garbage and, like, cleans the bathrooms.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, he gets paid. He collects the rents at the studio. So he tries to keep it clean and nice. So
I manage the building.
Yeah. So we get there.
Some money's peeing in the corner.
He just got so offended by you just calling him a cleaning man. He's the guy who manages it.
Yeah,
he's
a little bit more than that.
You're a maid.
I'm the manager. I don't just take out the garbage.
He's the assistant to the manager.
I'm in charge of the entire building.
Well, he tells himself to take out the garbage and then does it. It's a little different.
Well, when I got there at 9:30 in the morning, he had dishwashing gloves on, and he was dumping empty 40 bottles into a dumpster when I got there. What would you say that is, Chris?
A cleaning lady. Yeah, cleaning lady, more or less. Okay.
I call that a vice president.
So Fred is the Breakfast Club principal, and Jay is the janitor from the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, but who do you like more?
I actually prefer cleaning lady.
Okay, so nice. You know, it's
but here's the thing. Why am I there at 9:30 in the morning, cleaning up garbage? Because the guy who's in charge of setting up this entire practice doesn't have keys to any room.
This is money,
so you have to be there.
So what room are we going to? So they call me up. Yeah, we need the key. Well, the key to what? The key to a room. Well, what room are you planning on going to? I don't know. Oh, okay. Good preparation.
So this starts off Jay hating money, because this is what money's giving him lip.
Wait, so you guys don't have space at this. It's basically because you manage a studio space, Money, the new leader of the band, assumed that you were just providing space for the band to play in, correct?
No, because he practices in a room, but the kids in that room won't give him a key.
Because he's not trustworthy.
We're going to practice in that room. And at 9 a.m, he tells me, oh, they don't give me a key to that room. Don't you have a key for it? No, I don't have a key for it. I don't have a key for their locks.
I'm hearing a little criticism here. Like, Jay is criticizing money for not doing the good leader job. Like, Jay is not dealing too well with sitting in the back seat.
Well, as the story progresses, his leadership skills might get a little better as the story progresses.
Listen, I'm not criticizing his leader skills, but if you're preparing a practice in a room, you should have
a room.
A room. You know what I mean?
The first part of having a room would be at the room.
It's not like he came in with no direction and then we just sat and did nothing. No, now I had to get us into a room, and then I had to figure out how to get, like, microphones and what PA we're going to use. Now all of a sudden I'm in charge again.
Yeah, as he's sweeping the floors. Like, he's sweeping the floors, is on the phone with people trying to, like, get amps and cords and everything.
Hey, Jay, what if you didn't do that? What if you just said, money, you're the leader, you have to do it. What if you just actually sat down in the back seat and let the driving happen?
Then we wouldn't have practiced.
Yeah, we would
have
went home.
And we would have went home.
Totally.
So you're not taking the back seat. You're making it. You're driving the car.
Is it that he's driving the car, or are they grabbing him and throwing him back in that driver's seat? Are they saying, hey, get off the hump. Get off the hump because we'll never get there if you don't drive, Monty. We're not going to get there if you're not driving this car, Jay.
Does he
relent? Or is he actually saying, yeah, you know what? I probably should be driving.
Here's what I hear is Money isn't signaling when he's taking this right turn, and Monty's freaking out and kicking him out of the car, and I'm driving. That's it. He's not good at electing to take the back seat.
These are all terrible metaphors.
Well,
it's more like Money is the captain of the Staten Island Ferry. And
crashing it into
basically
something?
Basically, we're going to crash into, into the docking.
Unless Jay comes and saves the day and steers him away from the imminent... Why not just let it crash? Why not let Money fail and then figure out how he failed and fix it himself?
The reason why is because Devo drove 2 hours.
Yeah, and we couldn't just leave.
And I'm not going to be, a dick for
you. You want to take the reins. You know? Mm-hmm. You got to jump in the driver's seat and make it happen.
Well, it's 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday. What else is there to do but drink?
But hey, you know what, Gravy? I will say that I got there early. You were a little bit late, so I got to clean the entire building. So I felt good about that. I felt like it was very productive. I got a lot done. So I actually wasn't too mad about it.
Totally. So we bring Money buys about a case of Heineken. You know, what else to do on 9:30 on a Sunday at band practice is drink. So we start drinking, and Money. I'll tell you, for as big as he is, he's a big boy, and he cannot drink. He can't hold his liquor.
Money's a big boy? He should be 90 pounds.
No, he's a big boy. He's about triple the size of what he was.
You haven't seen him.
And Money just begins to drink and drink and get so, like, belligerently drunk, like it was, like, almost beyond the point where, like, people had to say, we got to go home. We got to go home now. Because he got so bad. There was one point where we hear him pissing in the middle of the hallway that Jay just cleaned up,
Money.
Pissing on the wall and floor. Jay comes out screaming. He picks up like a bottle of somebody's used water, and just dumps it all over him. And is so bummed because he just urinated all over the floor. He just mopped
nice,
it
clean
and cleaned.
Floor. Yeah.
And I think that was the first thing that broke the second thing that broke the camel's back.
Well, what I should have did was taken the bottle that you pissed into and threw on him.
You peed in the bottle?
Yeah, but I had the decency to pee in the bottle.
Are you doing peeing in bottles?
By the way, I just want to point out, I was recognizing the irony there, as Fred is saying this, like, oh, I can't believe he's doing this pissing thing here, because I'm thinking about Fred is probably one of the most, one of the biggest offenders of just inappropriate pissing in places.
But I'm not going to make somebody clean it up. I have the know-it-all to say, all right, Jay cleans these floors. I'm not going to, take a deuce on this floor that he's going to have to clean up right now. You know, Money just disregarded.
I will give you $100 if you crap on the floor at the next practice.
Something that Gravy actually said is we no longer have garbage pails in the hallways. We've gotten rid of them. And Gravy says, where are the garbage pails? Where am I going to piss now?
what do you mean? What do you have to do?
I got to go to the toilet.
Yeah, you piss in the bathroom.
Oh.
That's like what a person would do.
Whoa, that's all right. I'm going to say, color me embarrassed, I don't find all that much of a problem with peeing in a garbage can. I don't necessarily think that's such a bad thing.
So when he comes back from seeing Money peeing on the floor, Jay's head is about to explode. It's about to explode. Like, you see all, like, the therapy tricks starting to come into play. Like, he's talking
pins
himself
and
down.
Needles and pins.
You could totally see.
I was mad.
You could totally.
I was really mad at that. It's not like it was like, oh, I didn't know. No, you've seen me cleaning for the past hour.
What level of drunk was he, though?
He was like, you know.
Was he Brian drunk? Was he Brian, like, belligerent Brian drunk?
No,
like,
you know what?
Crazy?
No, he wasn't belligerent.
Here's the thing, Gravy. I don't think he was that drunk.
I don't think he was either.
Point.
I think
he was just being
spiteful.
Himself. And then
he wasn't drunk and stupid. He's just stupid.
He's playing guitar, and it cuts out every minute, and it's just like, and I just keep looking. Like, now I'm really trying to control myself because I'm like, what are you doing? Like, nothing even resembles the song. And at this point, I couldn't even stay at the room with you guys. Every like 2 minutes, Gravy would just see me walk by with a broom.
He had to get out of the car.
Yeah, he had
to leave the car.
Exactly.
So then I'm like, forget this. I'm going to just play it myself. So I grab the guitar, and I start playing, and now it keeps cutting out. And he's like, see, it wasn't me. But then I'm like, why is it cutting out? And it's my amp that I've had for about 10 years now that has always worked is all of a sudden blown and doesn't even make a normal guitar sound anymore.
Are you suggesting money blew your amp out?
He broke
definitely.
It.
Definitely. So now...
I'm not suggesting. He blew my amp.
Now money messed up the room. He peed on the floor, and now he's
peed
blown
on the wall.
Peed
apparently.
On the wall and the floor, and now he's blown the amp. This is three things in the matter of like 2 hours. That's now his face is turning a different color now. Like it is really getting uncomfortable. And me and Debo can only sit back and just laugh because Money is so clueless about what's happening because he's such like he's just a douche in nature. He's just one of those guys that you know he's going to be an idiot.
He never struck me like that.
And me and Debo are just looking at we're thinking like. Jay's about to hit somebody. Like, we're thinking, like, he's about to storm out, say, why the hell did I even do this? You know, now...
But that's the thing. I went from, like, cool and, like, yeah, let's just hang out and have fun. And then all of a sudden, I'm, like, old Monty again. And I'm like, guys, I'm just... let's just get out of here. I don't want to do this anymore.
I was just going to say, this is the question now. Monty, this Saturday night, Money calls you and says, hey, you guys want to have practice tomorrow? What's the answer?
Yeah, I don't know. He texted me the next day. I'm sorry for visiting the hallway. And I didn't even reply back to him.
See, he's grown.
And then I texted him again today because he has the key to my front door. So I'm like, you have the key to the door? And he's like, I don't know. I got to check. He's like, are you still my friend? I'm like, you got to give me money for my amp. He was like, I didn't even do anything. All I did was play it. I was like, well, you did something because it doesn't work anymore.
Are you going to make a pay for the amp, Monty? Come on.
How do you know it was him?
Because it worked before.
Like right before? How do you know that the person who used it before Money didn't do it?
Because my sister's been using it, and she's been playing shows for it for the past year. Huh. So,
and you could really make him pay for it, like you know he used it or right. He did the you know he might have went
okay,
up on
so
the bass.
Okay, who? I mean,
well, Fred has an extra.
What
amp,
do you guys
don't?
Think? What do you guys think? He turned the amp. You know what he did? He turned the amp on and
way too
all
loud.
I don't know what he did. I think all the volume was like super loud. Because as soon as he turned it on, it was like, Ree! And then he turned it off right away.
Do you make him pay for it, Chris?
Listen to
him
breathe.
Accidents happen. You shouldn't. Shame on you for loaning him the amp. Then he shouldn't be allowed to borrow your amp if he's going to break it. If he's not responsible enough, you got to know who you loan it to. I've loaned guitars to friends of mine, and guitars came back to me no longer functioning. That's why I don't like to loan people things, especially musical. I mean, at this point, I don't care. I don't play in a band anymore. But I used to hate when people used to say, "Hey, can I use your guitar for this show?" Like, yeah, I'm going to need it that day. I really can't let loan you my guitar that day.
It needs to sit in my bedroom and rot that day.
Yeah, it's going to be way too busy sitting in a case exactly that day to actually be at a show. But especially when the guy who was borrowing it is guilty of destroying a classic SG in front of a crowd of people. So, no, I'm not going to hand you my Paul Reed Smith. Sorry.
Yeah, guitar dude.
So Money says he's not going to pay for it. You should take him to small claims court. Judge Judy.
Oh, my God. So people's court.
Monty versus Money.
So I'm curious. I'm curious. He asks you for practice now again. What happens? He has. I'll get my own amp. I'll borrow somebody else's amp. Gravy's loaning me an amp. You ready for practice on Sunday? Can you do it, or is it? Are you over the edge?
Can Gravy borrow an amp? By the way,
this Sunday, no.
Well, because you have something to do. I'm saying any Sunday.
No. I'm saying
it's too soon.
This Sunday, would I do it? I would definitely 100%. I would do it.
But you would consider doing it like 2 weeks from Sunday? That's kind of like a. I don't know if I can say
bitch
this
thing.
Word. That's a little bit of a bitch move right there.
The wound is too fresh?
No, I don't hold grudges.
Right, but two weeks from now it's going to be okay?
I don't know. Listen, do I want to hang out with him again this weekend? No, I don't. Maybe next weekend it'll be like, whatever, it's just money. You know what I mean? But I can't say how I'm going to feel in a month from now. What do you want me to say? No, I'm never going to talk to him ever again?
No, I wanted you to say, you know what? I think I'm ready to jump back into this. That's what I was thinking. This was where this was going. I mean, we got a big summer ahead of us here, buddy. We've got a big summer. We're going to wind up having a Heroes Talk barbecue for Labor Day that we're hoping to get Monty Love to play for. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be a magical, magical experience. Aren't you, you know, if we're not practicing by then, you know, you guys are going to have issues.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys are breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, no, the Labor Day concert.
This is what I want to get you guys involved. I want to get you guys involved in this. We're doing a thing on Van Duser Street where we're on Staten Island where we're closing the street off and we're having Van Duser Days. And bands are going to play and it's going to be a whole to-do. And I suggested to the guy running it, I was like, hey, I know this great radio show. Maybe they could come and broadcast.
Which radio show?
Dog and Pony Show.
I wish I knew another one. That would have been funny. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how down you guys are to record on one of your off days, but
125% without question, we'd love to do it. Love to do anything.
If you guys could could think of a good idea for it, you know, like.
Oh yeah, ideas.
I'm already
That's
stressing.
That's the thing. I said it to the guy. I was like, they run a radio show. They could like broadcast from the side, and he's like, all right, well, like, give me some ideas for it, and we'll see. I was like, I thought that was the idea.
Yeah, they'll tell jokes. They'll tell jokes during it and talk.
They're going to make
food contest.
They're going to make fun of people in the audience.
And also, Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller. My big show returns July 23rd. And nice. There's no way I could get you guys on the show, right?
Well, when is that?
Thursday night.
Yeah, that's...
You got an internet connection down there?
That's not going to work.
We have an internet connection down there.
Well, we could do something maybe remotely.
Maybe we can have the show. Maybe we can have his talk show here in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Rob, we're gonna have a live studio audience at your house. You don't mind, right? Yeah.
Just a couple hundred.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and stream the show live this time.
Sweet. Ooh, exciting! Exciting. Good stuff. That's wait. So you're gonna be competing with us directly?
Yes.
Oh, God almighty. Why does this work out this way?
Money changes everything.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. The ratings wars. It'll be the Monday night ratings wars. It'll be Raw versus Nitro in the 90s all over again.
Oh, who do you want to be?
Definitely Nitro. NWO, bro, for life.
So what, I got to be the more risque one?
Yeah. You'll show boobs and you'll yell what, and drink beer and all that stuff. It'll be exciting.
I think what was way past the wars.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that Austin did before that.
So Jay, is money that friend, that douchey friend that you know is a douche, but you still, you know, you haven't a little something in your heart for the kid not to, excommunicate the person? Like, does everyone have that in their, somebody like that in their life that, you know, the guys are, you know, guy or girl might be really douchey, but they're just a close friend that you can't let go? Is that who money is to you?
No, not really.
He's not even a friend at all.
I mean, barely.
It's not like you would just let any stranger off the street piss on your walls and consider hanging out with him again. So there has to be some modicum of friendship there that you're holding. Otherwise, you wouldn't even consider it.
No, I do feel like I couldn't be in a band with someone else. That's why, because. I don't know if I could deal with a different guitar player. I mean, and that seems crazy, knowing that who's worse than money. But at least I could like openly hate money. You know what I mean? As opposed to someone else, I have to pretend that I like them.
Yes,
the crazy that you know.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
So I don't know, guys. I don't know.
We should
get him on the phone. Why don't we call him now?
Oh, please call him. I would love for you to get him on the line.
Is it too late? Is the segment too
long? I think it's too late. I think we plan this. I think we get some sort of intervention between you two guys in advance and get yourselves, you know, and work this thing out so you guys can get the practice going. Because we have that Heroes Talk barbecue at the end of the summer that you guys are going to have to be ready for. I think that's the way to go about this.
Why don't we plan it for Monday or Thursday?
But absolutely. I think it's a fantastic idea.
All right, man. Listen, boys, you know, I don't know what else I could say, but I was great.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Excellent, buddy. It's our buddy Jay Miller, Monty Love, Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller. Come back on the 23rd, was it? The 23rd of July?
He's off the line.
Yeah, I think it was the
23rd. 23rd of July. That's right, guys.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. If you're not listening to Best in Show, check it out. It'll be exciting. The Monday Night Wars as they return.
Hey, Keefe, you still there?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Nice.
I hear a door opening and closing where Keith's at. Do you hear that?
That's in my house. I'm using Rob's super microphone here, so So basically, the door that's not nearly as close as you think it is when it opens and closes, that's what you're hearing.
Is the wind blowing it open and close, or you're going through the door, Keith?
Yeah, he's leaving the room from time to time is what he's doing.
He's bored. He's just bored.
I thought he had friends coming and going, like that friend sound in his house.
It's his neighbor's door, actually. It's not
so someone signed into IM, is that what it was? Like someone else signed in?
That's what I thought it was.
He doesn't have one of those doors that goes doo-doo-doo, you know, the new message came in? Awesome.
And you know what else I don't have these days?
What's that?
I am now on day, well, I guess a third full day, but tonight is now 4 straight nights without television, without cable television.
Eesh. Drug of the nation.
Without television.
As last week I said, I was getting rid of my cable. Monday night I got rid of my cable television. And I got to be honest, I don't miss it. I really don't miss it.
What have you been spending your time doing?
Crying.
Well, crying, looking at this empty set.
Believe it or not, there's a direct correlation between the lack of TV and the amount of jobs I've been actually applying for. And like sitting and writing cover letters for. Wow. As opposed to clicking, you know, sending a resume and knowing nothing's going to happen with it.
Like you're actually being productive with your time.
Mm-hmm.
Keith, you have a copy of a cover letter there? Please read me a little bit of your cover letter, please. I want to know your strong suits.
Hi, my name is Keith. Hire me. Thanks. Bye. Love, Keith.
You know, I would imagine it's probably one of the 10 cover letters that I gave him for my own.
Some guidelines. You know what? I don't have the Brian cover letters, by the way, that I promised on an earlier episode that I would come up with. Brian told a story on an earlier episode that on 9/11 he sent an email requesting a change of interview with a place in downtown Manhattan.
I thought it was due to your lack of office now, I would like to reschedule.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. What was I going to do?
So I've been looking for that. But anyway, I don't have any of them handy, Fred. I'm sorry. Okay. But maybe I'll write you a cover letter.
Did you put your last job on your resume, Keith?
Certainly. I had the job.
Okay.
Yeah, but now you know when you put something on a resume, they can many employers who will follow through on a resume will contact someone at that place. And maybe even ask for a contact. Like, they're going to call up and float your name and figure out, like, not only justify if you work there, but then pick their brain a little bit. Are you worried about what they're going to say about you?
No. I refuse to believe that my termination of employment there was a serious enough issue for me to not have a good or at least a decent or okay reference.
But it's somehow serious enough for them to fight with the Department of Labor for to give you your unemployment.
That's just money.
I think that's a money thing.
He's a douchebag, isn't he?
I think that's a money issue, speaking of. I'll just say that much.
Do you have, like, special skills on, like, your resume? Like, you type, like, 90 words a minute or something like that? Do you have anything like that, Keith?
No, not really. I just have that I know, like, you know, basics, Microsoft Office suite and all that stuff.
I have absolutely no skills.
I'm very experienced at Facebook. I know Facebook very well and all of its various applications.
That's what I'm still scared about, because I found out my employer was trying to, like, find me on LinkedIn. Well, I know you weren't on LinkedIn and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm thinking Ustreamer 23216 down is all people that you wrote resumes to that are checking out the show tonight. You know, it's just a wacky world of saying, you know, does this radio gig, you know, prevent you in the workplace or people finding out? Or, you know, we went down this path a lot, but I don't know. It's just wild.
He doesn't have to be worried about the radio stuff. He's got to be worried about all the crap that he puts on Facebook and MySpace and all the other stuff that kind of like.
And his felonies.
Ixnay on the felonies.
I don't have anything crazy. If you look at me, I have no record. I have.
This is a great job interview. That's how you should start the job interview, Keith. Hey, look at me. I have no record.
You can't pin anything on. Nothing that you could say about me will stick. In a court of law, none of this is going to stand up. And I've got a Homer Simpson tattoo on my forearm, so hire me.
I'm not even awaiting a trial right now.
I have no records or skills.
I'm old and unemployed. Come on. What's not to like?
Okay. Actually, a few of the jobs needed, wanted to know that you could that you had experience or at least familiar with social networking sites.
Ew. Really? So that was one of the criteria to get the job is you need to know about Facebook?
What kind of job could you be looking for?
A lot of places look for... There's a lot of places.
Actually, a lot of places probably just want to know that you're on there so they could check you out.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right, Keith.
So I'm just thinking like, oh, he spends time on Facebook. Yeah, don't hire this child. let's just get away from this. Oh, wait, he's still on MySpace. Oh, he's a little bit old. Maybe we can interview him.
Have you been on any interviews lately, Keith, or no? Has it just been all mailing stuff?
Yeah, it's just been all emails and you know, sending in applications. I haven't had a job interview in quite some time. I had an interview with a temp agency about a year ago, and they told me they would contact me, but they didn't.
So. Those are always fun. I went to a temp agency before, and they run you through the ringer with like a delicate hint of some possible positions that they currently have available that you might fit. And when they get done with it, it's like, oh, we really don't have one. We'll take this and go shop you. So leave, and then we'll keep you in our back pocket and maybe use you if we ever have you.
Well, yeah, that's what their whole point is. That's what they do.
Right, but they string you along with, hey, we've got five positions. You should you need to sit here and fill out 40 pages of worthless information so that at the end we can just add you to our harem.
Now, Keith, I've never written a cover letter for myself. Is it just like a one page, like a paragraph, just talking about yourself and what you're strong in, that you strengths and weaknesses. Nope. What is it?
Basically, it's aside from the resume, it's the brief chance you get to tell somebody. Basically, I guess the definition would be a sort of definition. I should say would be to explain to somebody why they should even bother looking at your resume and not just chuck you onto the pile with the rest of them.
I have the cookie cutter answer for that. The first is three paragraphs long, at least. The first paragraph is defining exactly what you're responding to, like telling them why you're talking to them. I'm responding to an article in the newspaper or to your posting that I saw on this website for this specific position. And telling them what you're specifically applying for.
I believe that my skill set makes me a perfect candidate.
That's paragraph number two. Mm-hmm. Number one, you're just saying, I saw this on this website, right. And this is what I'm talking about. Paragraph two is, as you can see from the resume that I'm enclosing, this, and this part of it makes me exceptionally well for this part of the job that you're describing. And the final paragraph is the paragraph where you demand the next step. You know, call me by this date or I'll be calling you to set up an interview. You have to, like, demand an action item.
Really?
So that you get a response. Because if you don't ask for something, they'll just throw it – they can justifiably just throw it away. If you ask for a response, you'll get a lot of people to respond to
you. Keith, you have all these categories in yours?
I certainly do.
I've never
– I have less of a threat at the end of mine. I just have more of a
– Call me or else.
If I don't hear –
I have more of a how I'd like to, explaining exactly what I would like to hear from them.
I'd like to make a lot of money.
I didn't count it with the I'm going to be coming at you otherwise.
If I don't hear from you by, July 15th,
watch out.
I'll give you a ring to see if we can schedule an appointment for an interview.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have to ask for it. You have to come. You have to come out with the money shot. You have to ask for the next step. Yeah.
Oh, I just videotaped that and sent it along with it.
And now you send different cover letters to the different jobs that you want.
You have to send a resume. Different cover letter to each job because you have to tell each specific job why you think you would be good for that job. So,
sure. But you don't have a cookie cutter. You don't have a cookie cutter at this point that you're just changing a couple of variables in each letter and moving it forward. I found this article in the. It's like the Mad Libs letter that you're putting together and you're just throwing the word in it.
I feel like doing that. I feel like doing that leaves is just sort of if you don't really care if you get the job or not. Like when I sit there and I look at a job and say, wow, I really want this, I actually go on the website. I see what their company's all about. I try to mix some sort of that stuff in there as well.
Pharmaceutical company. I like drugs. You make drugs.
I just don't understand. Like, I mean, there are tons of jobs that I look at and I say, yeah, you know what? I'm probably not an ideal fit for this, but I would still send the letter and I would still go through the motions on it.
Change the resume to make it look like you're a better fit. Nick some of the things that don't work.
But what I'm saying is it almost sounds like Keith is saying he's only applying to the ones and saying, yeah, you know what, I really do kind of apply here. And I'm not suggesting you're not applying for enough. Are you actually like almost weeding yourself out of certain jobs when you don't think that they're you?
Mm. No, if there's a job that I'm just willing to take, I do basically have, like Brian said, a cookie, or whoever said, a cookie cutter resume that I'll just change some details to, but not too much. That's for the majority, the bulk of the applications. But then for the jobs I really want, I will take the time to write a separate cover letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And still no calls. No calls for an interview, huh?
No threat.
Oh, no.
You're not sending a headshot with the resume, are you?
No.
Good,
one
good.
Place did ask for a headshot.
No.
It was the oddest thing in the world, I swear. It was like, it was a job of like front desk at a hotel, and it said headshots welcome.
Boybangers.com was where you're applying to. You didn't realize it.
No, I mean, it's a concierge. You're going to literally be the face of the hotel.
But by the way, our buddy Brittany Pablo is suggesting in the Pal Talk room, you actually have to Mad Lib to a certain extent, because if you have to write a new one for every new job that you're sending it out to, you're only going to be able to apply to like four jobs. If you want to hit up like 100 things a day, you're literally, I mean, you're going to spend 24, 25 hours in a day writing cover letters.
Right. Well, that's why I do have the one that to send out to the other jobs. But I will scrap. When I know, like, okay, it's late, I'm only going to be up 2 hours doing this. Although last night I was up to like, 5 in the morning doing it. But, like, if I know I say I have 2 hours to do this and there's a job that I really, really want, I'll sacrifice sending applications out to the others just to specifically apply for
it. Right,
that.
And I understand if it's one of the four that's important to you that day to really go overboard on that one, or one of the one even that day that you're really into, and spending a little extra time on that. But if you're looking just to get anything going, I would assume you're sending more than that.
I mean, with computers, it's so easy to, as you say, Mad Lib and make everything look that personal. Like that three-paragraph letter that you said, 85% of the words are going to be the same. And you just add a sentence or two in to describe specifically what your fit is for that position, and you go change a couple things on one of your four little patent resumes. I mean, you cater. You spend a little time to cater yourself to every specific job for that one. Because if you don't, you're going to be in the pile with the other 100 people.
But that is essentially mad-libsing it, then, for the most
part. I agree,
part.
But it looks like you're not. Like you're... You don't need to just have that one resume that you send in. You can change it a little bit.
Hey, Keith, are you emailing these things out?
Yes, I am.
And have you thought about what email address, or do you have a separate email address that you go under for this?
I have an email address that has nothing to do with any of this nonsense.
And have you Googled that email address? You know, that's the other thing, too, is now, you know, you're not faxing these days. You're emailing them out, and... You know, you gotta.
That's a good point.
You know, you gotta just think of the technology and the Googling of that email address or whatever it may be. And
like, have you used that email address on questionable forums, for example?
I don't go on questionable forums, but no, I haven't. I've used it only for professional purposes.
So you have like a whatever, like a Gmail account or something like that. That's
100k@gmail.com.
Right, exactly.
When I go on LonnieAndersonsBoobs.net, I use a completely different account.
So Keith has learned he's not applying to jobs with his email wannabangdavidbowie@aol.com. He's not actually using that to apply for jobs.
No, I'm not.
What kind of subject lines are you doing then? Like, do they tell you what subject lines? You got to create your own.
90% of them ask for the subject line. They ask for the subject line. They tell you what to put in the subject line, which has been good for me.
Yeah, so it goes in a certain folder, and it
like regarding position on, you know, wherever I found it. The other problem is Craigslist. 90% of what you find is fake.
Yeah.
They just want to get your email address, so that's another annoying thing. So it's another reason that I have to make sure that I'm that I know it's real before I spend 2 hours writing a cover letter, and then, you know, wake up to find that like somebody sending me, you know, an ad for free Viagra or something from that same email address.
Could you forward me to that one? Forward my email address to that?
Yes, you can add 3 inches to your manhood, by the way, also. Nice. That's another one I've gotten plenty of times when I applied for jobs.
You're going really going on Craigslist look for jobs? You're not going on, like, those monster sites and all those, like,
monster.
Yeah. There's jobs on Zachary.com, actually, to apply for jobs.
There's jobs on Craigslist, if you're suggesting it's, I mean, there's a lot of shady crap going on Craigslist, but there's actual jobs.
Yeah, but what about just, like,
and there's just as much shady stuff on the Yacht, right, Hot, okay, Jobs and Monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those companies pay to have them listed on the so-called, you know, legitimate sites.
You ever pick up a paper, do it old school, and just look through the classifieds?
I've tried. I bought the New York Times Sunday expecting to see, I think I mentioned this recently on the show, I expecting to see a lot of jobs, and they basically refer you to their online section now.
Yeah, it's been so long. That's, I think he actually did say this a couple weeks back. It's been so long since I was applying for jobs outside of, like, through people I know, through contacts I've made from working. It's been so long since I've applied for anything that I wouldn't know how to begin a job search, which I'm terrified that I'm going to wind up losing my job, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to know what to do because I wouldn't know how to even begin.
Chris, $50, I'll help you.
Ah, nice. Nice. That's your job. You just got hired helping me write a cover letter?
Exactly.
I go straight for the magazine.
Wow, man. Well, Keith, good luck, man. You'll need it with the 9.5% unemployment rate in New York.
Is it almost double digits?
Yeah, it's almost. They said it's going to be 10% in 2010.
I got to be honest. 1 out of every 10 people.
15 million people.
I know, but 1 out of every 10 people being out of work. It doesn't seem that crazy to me.
It's more than
I know.
That.
I thought of that too. I said that means 90% of the country's employed. That's pretty good.
No, that's the percentage of people that are applying for unemployment. Compared to the people who aren't. And they also, the people who burn through their unemployment 6 months later are no longer considered unemployed, even if they don't have a job.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of people who aren't on the radar that are not actually employed.
Homeless, so not considered unemployed.
Exactly.
Definitely.
But, I mean, yeah, that 9.5% doesn't bode well. It means that, 30% of the country might be unemployed. It's ridiculous.
Hey, by the way, speaking of my job search, obviously I always have to I always search anything radio related, and I noticed that in New York, if you apply for an on-air position, usually it'll say something along the lines of must have at least 5 to 10 years of mid to major market experience. And I looked at some stations down south, like in North Carolina and South Carolina, and under qualifications it said, please send demo tape. Must have GED or high school diploma.
Why?
Half of us don't have that.
I couldn't possibly. Oh no! I couldn't possibly talk. I couldn't possibly talk about things without my high school diploma.
Well, he's suggesting that the standard is a little lower.
So you're saying that's too high of a standard?
Yeah. for Tuscaloosa, Alabama, like that's you really got to worry about these things? Come on.
They're not much for that fancy book learning.
I would love to go down there and apply, and they and just have them look at me and say, "What the hell did you just say?"
By the way, what year did we start doing internet radio, Keith?
Internet radio in general, 2005.
2005. So we almost have 5 years of major market experience because we do it in New York, right?
Absolutely. Don't think I haven't thought of swinging that in my favor, my friend.
Nice. If you do have any prospects for jobs out there in radio entertainment, I think you actually could also add to it the fact that you host a fine movie night here on Heroes Talk every Wednesday night. Oh, I'm sorry, that your intern does. Well, could you actually co-op like maybe that you work for him or something like that for that night? I don't know how you could work that out.
For $100K, he's a little upset because I used to work for him on the Brown Lodge, so it's a little weird now.
But. Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. Regardless, it has been continuing anyway. 100K presents every Wednesday night here on Heroes Talk. We've been doing the movie night type thing. This week we had a magnificent film. The Big Lebowski was watched. It was a fantastic event, enjoyed by all.
Great film.
And by enjoyed by all, I mean enjoyed by the four people.
I was there.
The four people that were there. Yeah, me, you, Walter Sobchak, our buddy Keith Fu. I think that's about it.
I was there-ish.
Ish. Yeah, it's gotten to the point that we had this great idea. It seems fantastic. It seems cool. And I don't think we're executing. And I'm going to take a lot of the blame on this, that I have done a piss-poor job with promoting or getting it out there to let people know, hey, we're going to be watching this movie. What movie do we want to watch this week? Mainly this week, as I started this week's show, I explained the fact that my work has been just a horror show for the past week, so I haven't had the a good job of letting people know what's going on.
That's not the reason. Yes, that adds to sort of the reason why we're ill-prepared for this thing, but we know that it's coming. We know that it's coming this Wednesday, yet we still haven't prepared for this coming Wednesday show. We already should have. We already should. By now, we should have had a table of...
Brian is stressing out again.
Yes, I am. By now, we already should have had a thread on the forum with choices that people would have thrown in, and today would have been the cutoff day for, okay, all of your choices are done, now vote. And that vote should have been done by Tuesday or even Monday. And we're not jumping on it enough. And promoting the last 10 minutes before the movie isn't working. Plus, members of the show aren't going.
Who put Brian in charge?
Like me.
Well, Monty wasn't doing a good job, so we had to get somebody in there to take care of it, so we got Brian. You know what? I'm with you. Well, let's say by tomorrow night, by the beginning of the Watch Show tomorrow night, all the nominations actually have to be up on the forum at HeroesTalk.com.
Well, because we haven't started that thread, then one day isn't enough.
Here's the other thing, too. You have to explain to the podcast listeners now, because the majority of our audience downloads this right now. They're listening on their own personal device, right, guys out there in the internet world? But it's as easy, and believe me, I didn't think this whole movie night, like watching it and like I'd see Chinese and the words wouldn't match up. No, it's actually pretty cool. You just go right to HeroesTalk.com, boom, the video pops up instantly, no signing, registering.
When do I go?
You go on Wednesday night at 9:30, starting at 9:30. So you just go to, you pop in HeroesTalk.com and it instantly activates. There's no BS. The movie's right there. There's a chat room right there.
Yep.
So it is easy. So all you guys that are listening, if you don't have a chance to listen live on Thursday nights or whatnot, pop in. Even if you pop in and just say hi.
Can I make a sorry, go.
No, that's about it.
I'd like to make a suggestion.
A suggestion, if possible. I know that there's a lot of people, I think we probably know a lot of people that have production companies that do, like, independent films. If anyone knows of anyone that maybe wants to submit their movie to be watched on 100, is that something, I mean, the rest of you guys, is that something you'd be interested in doing?
World premieres?
I think people would, maybe want, people that are taking their movie around and showing them in places maybe would, you know, welcome a chance for an internet, a chat room full of people to get to watch it.
Interesting.
Just a thought.
Maybe.
Interesting concept. I think that's a great idea. Now we just have to meet some movie makers, exactly. and we're right on that.
Well, they're listening. They're listening right now to the podcast, so be sure to email us at...
Movie night at bestinshowradio.com. Oh. Movie night at bestinshowradio.com. That'll be very exciting. Or whatever.
Yeah, and check out our forums at HeroesTalk.com. Be a part of the selection process.
That's Radio Bronze Fans is the other way
also,
to get there.
That's also Radio Bronze Fans.
There's been no suggestions for this Wednesday's movie, has there? In the...
We're still basking in the afterglow of the Big Lebowski
right now.
That's the
problem, as we keep doing that.
So that's what I'm saying. By tomorrow, I want to let's get a bunch of nominations out there and get the vote up, because I think this week's choice was big decided because it got 3 votes. I think 10 people voted.
There was an excellent suggestion on the forum. Too late that happened for this one. The video game documentary King of Kong, which
King
by the way
Kong,
is incredible
Fistful
movie.
Fistful of Quarters, fantastic movie.
Yeah,
fantastic
I think movie. That should be at least part of this next Wednesday's election.
Video games.
Yes.
Video games. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a fine thing. We should throw it out there and we'll take a look. We'll get it going and we'll get it going over the next 24 hours and actually have it out there and get these votes going.
At least get
we'll
the thread started. We'll try to be more Johnny on the spot with it every week.
Okay.
How was it this week? I wasn't there because I'm a slacker.
Like I said, we had four or five people. Actually, our buddy Erica Durka was there as well. I apologize. Nice. I didn't mention earlier that she was there. But yeah, we had a handful of people. We had a nice time. It's a great movie, but there weren't a lot of people there. Yeah, weren't a lot of people there. There wasn't a lot of promotion on our part. And I'll be honest, I wasn't even there for half the time because I was dealing with work half the time. So I was even though it was streaming on my computer, I was running into the other room on the phone with work half the night.
You can't watch that movie too much. Like that is, I don't think that there was a certain person, anyone who looked at that and said, "Ugh, I can't do this again. I'm going to sit and watch this movie."
Out of all the Coen Brothers films, that's the one I can probably watch the most.
Allow me to point out that early in the day, based on the voting, I did not think that that The Big Lebowski was going to win for the week and be the film that we played. So I actually started watching it in the afternoon while I was working. At the same time, I just put it on my second screen. I had that playing in the background. And then I put it on again that night with the intention, if my work didn't cause me to do so, of watching the entire thing again. Because I could watch that movie again and again.
Still didn't tire you. An hour later.
I was even commenting in the chat room. It's a movie that I've seen multiple times. Yet, and the element of surprise of the comedy is not there for me, yet it still makes me laugh out loud. It's insane.
Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the best douche in the world. I mean, he's just great when he's touching the plaques, and he's like, oh, can you not touch it?
He plays the best a lot of things.
Really?
it's fantastic.
I mean, of all the Coen Brothers films, that's the one you could keep watching. I mean, Fargo...
Brilliant. I think you can watch that countless times.
Can I point out my nomination for next week? Will be Fargo because I've never seen it.
What?
Really?
I've never seen Fargo.
Wow. You should. I still think Miller's Crossing is their best. Big Lebowski is a very close second. But they're two entirely different movies. Mm-hmm. Either of them can be watched countless times. And it's almost like something new you'll come across every single viewing as well.
Burn After Reading was good, but not like a classic like this, like Big Lebowski turned into.
Didn't see that either. Yeah.
I agree. I was hoping for a funny, another like Lebowski appearance, but it was vague. Vaguely good at best.
Sweet. I'm excited for this Wednesday.
No Country for Old Men was good.
Our buddy Pristine Sneakers is saying in the Pal Talk room that the Big Lebowski bored him to death.
Really?
He didn't. What? He doesn't get the fascination. I don't know. I just think it's I don't know. He doesn't have a frame of reference, Donnie. What are we going to say?
But I'm excited for this Wednesday. I'm excited to see what comes
out. It's gonna, all right, yeah, we'll get it going. So head over to RadioBronzeFans.com. We'll start a thread. We'll get the nominations up, and we'll start the voting this weekend for the fireworks. Maybe the Firecracker 500 will be very exciting.
Nice.
Keith, weren't we supposed to do a big countdown of classic rock songs for the fire 4th of July this year?
I got news for you. That was supposed to be for Memorial Day.
All right, so it'll be for Labor Day. Well, Monty Love is playing. It'll be great. Labor Day 2012, the Firecracker 500. It's going to be terrific.
I think Stairway to Heaven was number one.
Awesome.
Was it number two?
Ooh. Oh, exciting teaser. We'll never know. It could be that. It could be Freebird. It'll be crazy. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with your ears, the place to be, magical wonderland, all that jazz. You want to be a part, you can, 877-744-6405, Instant Messenger, Pal Talk chat room, it's Heroes Talk Radio, or just heroestalk.com. It's awesome. It's awesome. That's what I've gotten to. I am awesome, dude.
It's totally awesome.
I've been having some experiences lately. I've been having some interesting things lately related to the fact that I've been losing, I've lost a pretty substantial amount of weight, and I just thought I wanted to throw a couple things out there about it. I tend to downplay it a little bit, but then bring it up over and over again, yet try and downplay it, being somewhat of a hypocrite as I go through this all the time. And I had an experience on Monday night. Was it Monday or Saturday night? One night this week, I was getting home from running. And maybe just showed the hypocritical, douchey, creepy nature of me as, hey, I'm the losing weight guy. I just finished my run. I'm coming up my block on the way home. And as I'm walking up the street to my house, the woman who lives a couple houses down, older woman, she has a home caregiver. That lives with her. She's like, you know, she doesn't want to go to a retirement home. She just has a home caregiver that kind of stays there with her, takes care
really?
Of her.
Oh, really? Lives there?
I think so, as far as I can tell. Wow. Yeah, I think she lives there. It might be like a
hospice.
Dude, not how quite, much money do you get paid for that?
She might not live there full time. Like, you know, there may be, she might just be there for the day, and then someone else comes there at night. I don't live with her, but, you know, but she seems to be there a lot.
What nationality is this woman?
Which one? The
caregiver.
She would be of some sort of Eastern European descent. She's either Russian or Slovakian of mm-hmm. some whatever. So as I'm walking up the block, this woman, this home caregiver, who I've seen quite a few times, looks at me, and she says, "Oh, you're the man from the house over here, yeah?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm the guy who lives there." "Oh, you look, and she starts like
flexing,
like kind of showing me like strong. You look strong, is what you're doing, and you know, and I smile and I lost about 60 pounds. Yeah, I've lost a big amount. And she's like, "Oh, that's great. How'd you do?" I'm just like, "Well, yeah, you know, things like this. I've been running, dieting, stuff like this, you know. I think it's great that this old woman is taking, I say old. She's not the old woman from the house, but she's like, I mean, she's got to be in her early 50s. I think it's great that this old woman is, you know, she's interested in wanting to know.
Oh, you could tie your shoes now, fat boy.
You think
what you just did.
Well, that's what I thought she was doing. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I lost a lot of weight. And it's like, "Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. I was wondering if you could help me." At which point my mind goes, "Wait, what do you mean help me?" It's like, "You know the woman, Jean, who lives here?
She's dead.
She fell in bathroom. It's okay. She's not hurt. But she fell in bathroom, and I was wondering if you can come in to help."
Is this your Russian?
Well, it's what her voice sounds like-ish. Right, okay. I don't know. It's bad. And then it clicks in my head, like, wait, this woman was saying to me, you look sort of strong.
Exactly.
Can you help me pick someone up? But my, no, I haven't lost enough weight. Douche that I am is saying, yeah, I lost some weight. Looking kind of good, I know.
Like
that's
she's
right.
noticed you for the past 4 months to lose all this weight.
No, she's just
not breathing. I know. Bleeding.
Basically, exactly what's going through her head. To carry big fat belly around must have strong to pick old woman up, yes? You know, it's kind of what's going through her head. You know, but I'm sitting here thinking like, yeah, she could tell. She could tell that I'm looking hot.
I would have thought the same thing. A stranger from off the street starts commenting on your body, I would think, yeah. Like construction workers cooing at some girl passing by.
But
yeah.
Now you have to walk into this horror scene.
I'm just like, oh my God.
What are you going to see?
And she's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. She's not hurt. And all I'm thinking is like, I've just made this woman spend an extra 3 to 4 yes. minutes talking about my body in front of her house instead of helping the elderly woman Jean off the floor inside the house.
And I'd be thinking, bathroom, 90-something-year-old, naked, not hurt, but...
Well, and she says, no, it was... She kind of slumped over and fall. It's not like she didn't hit her head. Everything's
little fecal
okay.
matter.
It's okay. I'm like, okay, sure, no problem. I'm disgusting and sweaty. I just finished running and everything. She's like, it's okay. I need your help.
Your attempt to get out. Your feeble attempt to get out of it.
I come in. I just felt bad, like that I was going to sweat on an old woman.
Sorry, I'm too sexy for old ladies. She might
attack me if I touch her.
So I walk in. Keith says Rob would have suggested a nice day laborer come over and pick her up.
Did you pay a guy to do that?
Oh, my God.
You should have said, isn't that what you get paid for, to pick up the lady?
She said, I don't have enough strength to pick her up and hold her there.
I am a woman, no muscle.
Yeah. My breasts are too big.
Very drunk.
So it was awful. So I come in the house, I come walking in, and we start walking to the bathroom.
You hear like, help me!
To the bathroom, just as was suggested. No sound. And then we look into the bathroom, and I see Jean with her pants around her ankles.
No!
And her head propped up on the bathtub, just laying there looking over at me. And I'm noticing that her dignity has just been flushed down the bowl as the guy who lives down the street is coming in to pick her up off the bathroom floor.
Dude, imagine being Jean. Put yourself in Jean's head there for just 30 seconds.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying. Like that was her dignity getting flushed down the bowl.
Oh, did you see her vagina?
I did not see her vagina. I did see her wrinkled ass.
It hid the vagina. There was too much ass.
I would have had to have dug through God knows how many flaps to get to where that was.
Did you pick her pants up before you picked her up?
Due to the physical position that she was in, that was not possible.
Did you have to touch her butt at all?
I reached my hands underneath her armpits and picked her up.
Armpits.
And helped, underneath,
that's
okay. And picked her up. At which point she said, okay, stay here 1 minute, Jean.
Hold her while she finishes.
And the home caregiver wiped her ass.
No, were you there?
While I was holding her. Wiped her ass. Just one wipe, real quick one.
No, that's bad. That's even worse. And you're doing a good job.
And then
sprayed her down.
And then pulled the pants up. As I stood there holding her, and then I held her while she went into the other room then, and I'm sitting there holding Jean, and she goes into the other room to go get the wheelchair for her and comes back. And we shared a moment in the bathroom that was maybe the most awful thing of my entire life, as Jean, whose head was pretty much kind of down the entire time, just looked up in the mirror in the bathroom, and her eyes locked with mine, and she saw me, and it was just like
This is not the first time it's happened to Gene.
So how are you? It was that silence that Brian was fearing.
I was going to say.
I think that she was, you know, of just like, hey, we're here. You just held me. I've said 6 words to you my entire life. Hi, goodbye, as you walked by my house a couple of times onto the bus. And now you're holding me minutes after my ass was wiped, and you're putting me in a wheelchair.
You should have done what Brian would have done with the kid, the humanity thing, and just not done on anything, and let the strongest survive.
My first reaction to that is we live too long. Like that
getting old sucks.
That happens because we're not supposed to be that old. We're supposed to have died 10, 15 years before it gets to a point where you need your neighbors to wipe your ass for you.
I'm gonna say in the case of Gene, it's probably more like 20 years ago that she had to go.
I mean, that's a horrifying thing. Clearly, it's not the first time she had to have compromised her dignity for that. And, I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. I'm certainly going to fight for my last breath until, I'm never going to want to die. Don't kill me. I'll let you wipe the guy next door, the sweaty, sexy guy next door, wipe my ass when I'm 80. No problem.
So, Brian, do you think that that's proof that evolution has just stopped? It's stopped working now, and it's allowing people to just run free and wild and old? And
No, if anything, that's part of the evolution process. There's too many of us. There's too many of us. It's too long because we've evolved too well. Our intelligence has allowed for science to extend us beyond where nature has allowed us to has predicted or has manufactured our body to survive. And therefore, we're sort of part of the evolution process. You know, maybe our bodies will start surviving in 5 or 6 generations from now. It'll last longer. I don't know.
Chris, did she thank you? Nothing, not a word.
As I put her down, then the older home caregiver said, "Oh, you're sweating. There's paper towels there for you to wipe." I wiped my head, and Jean looked at me as she was finally sat in the wheelchair, and she looked up at me and said, "Come here, my hero."
Aww.
And I was like, "I'm really sweaty and disgusting." She said, "That's okay." And she kissed me.
Oh,
and, that's okay. I'm covered in crap.
On your cheek, she kissed you?
No, on my crotch. Yes, she kissed me on my cheek.
How bad did you need to want to take a shower? And then when you're in the bathroom, like when you're in your own bathroom, you're probably thinking and looking around, going, "Wow, like a bathroom would remind you of being in a bathroom." Yeah. Like,
no, well. While I was there at that moment, I was like, "Well, you know, I was just running. You mind if I jump in the shower real quick and just get cleaned up before I head home?"
No, your body didn't need the shower. Your eyes needed the shower. I mean, you needed to forget about that wrinkly ass.
No, you know what? It's not that her
was it tight?
Ass.
Was it a tight ass?
No, it was wrinkly. It was wrinkly.
Would you have done it?
Come on. If I wasn't a married man, no, of course not. Of course not.
Chris, have your thoughts on peeing changed?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe it's a little less sexy now. A little bit less sexy than it used to be. Yeah, it wasn't a pleasant experience, but I mean, you know.
You did your good deed, though, man. That's taking one for the team.
I wasn't. What team?
She sent you a Christmas card after that. The team of humanity.
I guess. I don't know. I just,
they shared a moment.
Hero of the next block party.
Oh, man.
I will say they shared a moment. That's no longer just going to be a nod and a twinkle on the porch.
He's going to have to go to the wake on this one, too, now.
Yeah, she doesn't come outside. Jean is literally on the last legs at this point. We're not going to be meeting her. The next time I'll be meeting her, the only way I'll be meeting her again is if there's another spill that I happen to be walking by.
Or you're removing her from the bathroom.
I guarantee Chris never runs past that house ever again. You never jug past the house again, right?
He runs now.
You run, you sprint. You sprint past the house.
Do you change your route now? Have you changed your route so as not to avoid the Russian lady?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Maybe you're in the will.
See, imagine if she dies and you're in the will. That would be great. That would be stunning.
To the anonymous man who wiped my ass.
To my hero.
July.
To my hero. Chris.
Allow me to point that I did not wipe her ass, as Entropy's talking about my new wiping fetish in the chat room. I did not wipe. I only held while the older woman, the home caregiver.
Hey, Gene, can you pee on me?
Entropy said your wiping fetish is now ruined.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, there's nothing to do with any wiping as far as I was concerned.
My question in this situation is you've been pulled into this compromising position sort of out of guilt of you feeling like you're being the exercising douchebag talking about your body. And when it comes right down to it, you probably would have went in there anyway if she asked for it. But you were working outside of your comfort zone. Where is the line? Where do you actually say no? You didn't want to do any of those things. You didn't want to hold up an old lady as her ass was wiped.
I walked door to door asking, "Hey, any elderly need to be held today?" That's what I do.
I mean, she was asking for some pretty obnoxious stuff. What if she asked you to, like, help with the wiping or she gave you the toilet paper
to throw this out? Like, can you throw this out? And she gave you the toilet paper.
I can't do that.
Spread the cheeks. Spread, give me the left cheek. I'll take the right one.
Nope.
We spread them open.
I can't do that. I will do things that you are not physically capable of. I am not going to do things. I can do that. I don't think I could. I think I'd have a hard. I'd be hard pressed to do that for family.
Well, she can't do it alone.
Like my kid and my wife, I would be able to do that for. Outside
not
of that,
your mom
and Gene,
I don't
apparently
think so.
Dad when they get old.
No, I'm not wiping Gene's ass.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So is that the line? Touching of the ass.
I don't know. I don't. I mean, you'd have to come up with some scenarios.
Did you
That's
see
a fun game show? I guess
if she's in the bathroom and has actually fallen down and possibly hurt herself, and fallen into her own fecal matter, do you touch her? Do you pick her up and like take her away from her life threatening situation, knowing that you're going to be touching some of her poo? Because that seemed like when you said this, that's what I was envisioning. She was lying in a pile of her own feces. Faces.
Her own college papers?
I think I could tolerate touching
her
poo.
Yeah, you have to because you're like,
her poo.
Did you be saving a life?
Because once I got into it, I didn't know that wasn't going to be the case when I got
that's
in there.
I was thinking,
it wasn't like when the door opened, I saw that I was going to go, ew, and go running out the door.
But that's what I mean. Where's the line? Because eventually you run into a situation where you're like, I really don't care if she's going to die. I'm not going to... And apparently, wipe her ass is in that line, but you know what's the line for you? I'm curious. I would have wiped her ass. I would if she was dying.
Would she die from her ass not being wiped? She might get a little chafed. That's about it.
If I walked into that situation, I saw her on her knees with her head on that, like she was clearly in a bad situation, and she needed help wiping. I probably would have. If I was asked, I would have wiped her.
That's
ass.
What the home caregiver is there
definitely.
For.
Definitely. That's a little too intimate. And did you see remnants? Like when she wiped it, did you see? And when you went in, was it all over the bowl? Was it in the bowl? Did you see remnants in the bowl?
I was not looking in the bowl. I didn't smell anything.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It smelled clean as a whistle.
Wow. You really did a good deed. I don't think I would have ever done that.
What would you have, what are you going to say? No thank you?
I would have said no thank you. I would have said, what?
I really...
I mean, no speaking English.
Radio radio's regret of the week.
Hey, that's what it is. Very good. I don't know.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks to you for checking out this program, Best in Show. Special thanks to our buddy Jay for calling in. Who else?
Walter.
Walter Sobchak called in. Anybody else? I think that's it, right?
Jay Miller.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, our buddy Jay and our buddy Jay Miller, both.
How about Walter Sobchak?
Oh, that's true. Thanks to you for hanging out.
Hey, you didn't thank me for calling in.
Oh, thanks. But no, you didn't call. You just been here looking sexy and skinny.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm thin.
Awesome. Well, thanks to you for checking us out. We'll see you guys.
Vacation.
We'll see you guys not next Thursday, but we will see them for Monday for a clip show, Keith.
Absolutely.
There will be a special clip show next Monday. Next Thursday, we will not be here live. But I think we may be working on something special. Maybe somebody else will do a little work on a special show for next week. We'll see how that all works out. I think that's it, right? That's it. We'll see you next Tuesday for the DJ New Style show. And watch show tomorrow night, watchshow.com. I think that's it.
And you know what?
What's up?
I'm sorry, this Monday's show might actually be live.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. Cocky socks. Steamroller. Roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Poodoo and the Llama. Peace. Yo. What's up with my boy Tidbit88? That's all I'm saying. What's up with my boy? Tomorrow, my life ain't no holiday.
entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.